Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rich Money, and you tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Ooh, babe.
Come on.
Ooh, babe.
Come on.
Ooh,
it's babe. Even better.
Stays hot. I ain't gotta get my buzz back. Uh-oh. What everybody trying to be now, I was that.
Yeah.
They could never stop me. That's why I love rap. Been living the life, crazy ice. With the baddest chicks in the world, maybe twice. The swag, the gear, the bread, all the whips is a year ahead. I only fear the feds. 45 on the other side of the peephole. Headshot from point blank, call it a free throw. Funny, cause I had the vision since Coleco. Back then, still ain't reached my peak though. Louis Loafers, yeah, Polo Pico. Call me whenever the bosses meet, yo. I drove Poppy crazy, so the industry's never gonna stop me, baby.
You can't stop me now, you can't stop me. No, you can't stop me now, you can't stop me.
Can't stop me. Whether I'm on Fifth or LA or the swap me. It's all good, cause I know the gangsters got me. First things first, the jars of broccoli. I treat the rap game like a large monopoly. One on one, niggas can't guard me properly. And when they double team me, the odds are sloppy. I move like them 80 milligrams of oxy. Send your sister back to your family, knock knee. Got too hot for the grams, he got weed. In the rap bracket, he remains the top seed. Revolver hold six, quick to blow three. Audio heroin, so you don't OD. Shooters know you, but you don't know me. The block is crazy, can't stop me, baby.
Money, and welcome back to another episode of Love Entertainment here on GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a spectacular show. We had Dawn Armstrong with the GQ General Question. We had up-and-coming artist and author, Nas Son. We played his smashing single, Home is a Dirty Street, and we talked about his novel, When the Chances Are Slim and In the Nick of Time. This man's novels is just ridiculous. You have to check him out. So when you get a chance, you know, go to www.nonsunblaze.com and check out those archives. I mean, check out those books. Excuse me. Check out those novels. Now, after Nonsun, we have one of the biggest promoters in NYC, Robert V. Cruz, the biggest comedy promoter doing big things. I know on the 21st, he got something going on, I believe, at the Tavern, and he has something going on in the 23rd. And he got a couple of events that I'm going to fill y'all in with later on tonight. He's also doing big things. But to hear last week's episode, you could go to GQ Palace Radio, I mean Blog Talk Radio, and type in GQ Palace. That's D-E-E-Q-U-E Palace, and check out the archives. Now, tonight, we have another spectacular show for y'all. We have my man, Unc Swizzle, with the GQ General Question. After Unc Swizzle, we have up-and-coming artist MJ in the building. Now, with the up-and-coming artist, we're going to do things a little different because as I was informed, his material ain't quite ready yet. He got it, but he don't got it where he want it. So I'm going to interview him, but we're going to be playing some exclusive track for some other artists, up-and-coming artists, but he will begin interview. After MJ, we have one of the biggest female promoters in the building, Vonetta Lady B. She will be in the building. And we'll find out what's going on with her, what's going on with her video station, what she's doing in the promotional field, how big is her events and where they at, and what's going down with that. After Vonetta, we have our special guest appearance. Comedian Hassan Baby Boy Oliver will be in the building. I'm pretty sure he'll be in here tonight. Ain't no question about it. Y'all make sure y'all drive safe out there because, you know, the storm is hitting hard. But we'll be right back with Unc Swizzle and his GQ General Question. This is GQ Palette. Love and entertainment is butter, baby. Palace Radio. Like I said, tonight we're going to do things a little different when it comes to the up and coming artists. Because, like I said, I try to keep my word, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to interview the up and coming artist that I actually have coming on. I'm going to interview him, but we're going to be listening to some exclusive tracks from other artists because the artist that I'm interviewing, he's stating that his stuff ain't actually ready up to par yet. You understand, but we still gonna interview him. But right now, I have my man Uncle Swizzle in the building for the GQ General Question. Swizzle, what's the deal?
How's everything,
going on,
buddy?
Baby? I can't call it. I might spoil it, man. You know.
I see you on the grind as usual. You know what I mean? Making things happen for the tri-state.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get like you, man. Had your hand, I cut mine off. Really?
I hear that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to make the circle shorter. You know what I mean? To make things happen.
For real. Because, you know, I definitely got to get you on with your artists. And we're going to play some of your artists' exclusive tracks tonight as well, if you don't mind.
Not a question. Not a problem at all, man. I definitely appreciate the support, man.
Yeah. We definitely going to play it. And I know that R&B artist you got is crazy. We're going to rotate that on a Wednesday. We're going to try to get it on a Thursday. This joint is just ridiculous.
Also, I don't know if you guys are going to be in town. Right now, let me just plug that. If you guys are in town this Tuesday, we're having a pre-Valentine's Day party, February 12th at the OZ Tavern, 138th Street and 3rd Avenue in the Bronx. We got a special guest performance by R&B phenom Curtis Jones himself performing live for the ladies. Everybody is
free. All right. I'm feeling that.
This is going to be an after-work event. It's only from like 6 o'clock to, I say, 12 or 1 o'clock. Ladies, I advise you to get there early. It's going to be a zoo. We got some special treats for the ladies for Valentine's Day. Curtis Jones is going to be performing exclusive songs off his romantic EP that's dropping February 14th on Valentine's Day.
So y'all get to hear
exclusive music. He's going to perform that treasure song live Tuesday, February 12th at the OC Tavern right here in the Bronx.
All right. I definitely want you to mention that too, you know, before the next segment, you know, let everybody know about it, you know. But now let's talk about Uncle Swizz. What's going on?
There's a lot going on with Persuade right now, but, you know, before I even get into that, I mean, right now, it's about the movement. It's about this Third War Black First Dawn movement that we got going on here in the Bronx. All I got to say is, usually, you know, they know me for, you know, doing a lot of talking. You know what I mean? They call me the number one shit talker on the underground. Can I curse on the show? I mean,
the number one shit talker. I have all types of listeners. I really don't allow cursing.
Okay, let me just flip.
You know, we can't say nothing if it's slip. You know what I mean?
You know, that would slip right there.
For
general listening audience, all the children listening that's, you know, under 18 years old, excuse that one. But they call me the number one talker in the industry on the underground. I'm connected to some of the hottest unsigned artists in the tri-state area, a few from out of state. Like I said, right now it's about this Third World Black First Dawn movement we got going on. We got the R&B phenom, Curtis Jones, dropping on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Crazy, his romantic EP. Something definitely for the industry. And they got to tune in. A&Rs, you know, all you people that's talking about the East Coast don't have no good music. New York City, the Bronx, you know, we like last in the loop. Nah, I'm definitely here to change that, you know. The whole new wave going in the Bronx right now.
Yeah, I heard some of these. Oh, man. We definitely gonna play some of them tonight.
There's definitely a new wave going on.
Yeah, yo, it definitely is. But
y'all know Uncle Sway's grind. Y'all know I'm on a 24/7 grind. It's nonstop. Okay, while y'all sleeping, I'm up working.
Brilliant.
You know what I mean?
Brilliant. That's how it's supposed to be. Really,
I'm trying to be that next Diddy of the Bronx, man. I'm trying to be that next Diddy, you know what I mean? Like, from one Scorpio to another, you know, be grind 24-7 to make things happen.
For sure, for sure. Ain't no question about it. Now, I want to thank you as well. You know, like I said, you're a busy man for joining us with the GQ General Question and all that.
Okay.
You understand? Now, what is your topic for this evening?
Okay. Question I came up with, you know, like, I pay attention to the media, you know, and I'm definitely an industry dude, you know what I mean? Music is like, you know, my way of life, you know what I'm saying? It's what I breathe, you know what I mean? And what I've been noticing is that, you know, there's a lot of industry beefing going on, you know, from a lot of cats, you know, a lot of artists that have made it, you know, out their neighborhoods, mm-hmm. you know, or where they're from. You know, they've become successful, you know, doing what I'm trying to do, you know, and trying to get to that level that they're at right now. And the question, the general question of today is, I want to know, what does the public think of all this industry beefing that's going on, that they see going on in the media?
You know what's funny? Last week episode, a guy named Don Armstrong came on. And
okay.
He asked a question about Chris Brown and all of them, like, what's the beef? And you know what's funny is? I can't really sympathize on the fact of why they actually beefing so much. But listen, all callers, the phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get on the line to give your point of view on Unc Swizzle topic or stay on the line to hear the show. Now, my thing is, I think it's more of the money and the power, like I was telling somebody else. You understand?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
They feel like this money, so they could feel like they could do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I think a lot of them do feel that way, you know what I'm saying? But my point is this, like, you know, when you come from where I come from, you understand what I'm saying? Once you've made it to that point, like, I'm talking about these artists beefing with each other, like multimillionaires beefing with other multimillionaires. And I'm saying to myself, hold on. If I only had that opportunity, you know, to be where these artists are at and to get my artists where these artists are at, there's no way in hell I'd be thinking about beefing about anything. If anything, I'm gonna think about coming together, collaborating together and keeping this music business alive, you know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
there's so much going on, you know, you have A&Rs working at labels that are signing, you know, music that isn't quality music, you know, just because, you know, maybe another A-list artist has brought them through the doors, you know. A&Rs, I feel like they're not out there doing their jobs anymore. You understand what I'm saying? There's too much going on, you know. There's too much fire out here, you know, coming off these streets, you know, then to have these artists beefing each other. Like, what they should be doing is going back to their neighborhoods and snatching up that hot talent that's out there that I know they know about, but they're not talking about. That's what they should be doing.
And that's the funny thing about it. Because for the simple fact of, instead of them going back to trying to get, you know, these artists that got that fire material and help them out in a situation, they rather beef with each other. Uncle
yeah.
Kevin, hold on. We have a call on the line. We're going to bring them on real fast, all right?
Okay.
Hello, caller. You on the air?
Yes, I am. How y'all doing?
How you
all
doing?
Right.
I'm doing good. No need in complaining. But my input on that situation, it's really crazy, and I agree with you. They should be going to the neighborhoods, you know, to stop some of the violence with the young people that's going on. You know, if they take them up under their wing and show them the right way, it may cut down on a lot of the killings
exactly.
of our young people.
Exactly.
These young guys wanting to be in the gang. You know, a lot of their music is taking them to the streets anyway.
Exactly.
But if you stop and think about it, give these kids a chance to be, you know, where you are now.
Exactly.
You know, you had to come from
exactly.
the same seed and that same upbringing, you know, from a baby to where you are now.
That's right.
Help them and lead the way to them to get to the same place.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And I say this, you know, like, it's also like, when they out there beefing like that, to me, it's like a letdown to the fans that support them, because without the fans supporting them, they are nobody. I don't care how great your music is, Like, you take myself in, and I'm sitting on great music, but I'm not a millionaire yet. I'm trying to get to that position. And that's
exactly.
My point exactly. Like, you know, they're out there beefing with each other, but they don't realize that it's bringing down the music, you know what I mean? Because when you beef, the word goes around that this artist is beefing with this artist, you know what I mean? You think they're going to support their music after that? No. Like,
no.
Come on. Like, it just doesn't make no sense.
You know, just from the way that you're talking, I know if you was to walk in your neighborhood, you see a gang of young guys or girls or both, you know, beefing, you're going to try to step in and be like, yo, this is not the way, baby. You know?
Exactly.
Let's step it up to another level. You know, let's help each other. Let's not hurt each other, because that's what we're doing. And excuse me when I say this, and I hope it's nobody on the line that would get offended. We always want to holler about the white man. White man ain't making you do nothing. You're
That's
doing
right.
it to yourself.
That's right. You're doing it to yourself.
To bringing yourself down, your community, everything. Everything about the black man, black woman, you're doing it to yourself. Don't accuse nobody else.
That's right. At the end of the day, you got to take responsibility for your own actions.
That's right. You know, and if you 12, if you old enough to carry a gun, you old enough to know better.
That's right. See, in my neighborhood,
you know, in my little neighborhood, I'm serious. Every year, we losing 2 or 3 teenagers, you know, gang related.
Mm-hmm.
A kid, what, a couple of weeks ago, just walking down the street, and because he was walking down the street, I guess it was an initiation 2 blocks from where I live. They just shot him in the head, killed him.
Wow.
23 years old.
Wow.
And from what they saying, it was a 13-year-old that did it.
Wow.
Been initiated into the game. Come on now.
Well,
I mean, who wants to walk out the streets doing
that.
This?
That's,
you know,
that's
so my thing is, you know, hey, get back with your community. You know, don't forget where you came from.
Exactly. Because that's what it is. You got to give people something to look forward to. But at the same time, you know, these people that, you know, that these communities that you come from, the people that you that grew up with you, they remember you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And they know that you're not coming back and you're not looking out to nobody else. You're not doing nothing for your community. You know, that's the thing they should be focusing on. You know, not saying that a lot of the artists don't do anything positive, you know, and they don't, like, you know, donate to, like, you know, so different foundations, you know. But what I'm saying is, when they beef with each other, it makes the industry and makes the music as a whole look bad.
But
mm-hmm.
you know what? Not just the artists. Let's look at these football, the professional sports players.
Yeah.
They're just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the media, period. Anybody that's in a upper profession, professional, you know, they all have some type of beef and gripe.
Yeah.
You know, because when you really look at it, football players make more than the average person.
Right, right.
You know, but you know, they got issues as well. You know, you see them in the media a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
true.
I mean, it is what it is. But you need to step back. Take a deep breath, and let's go back.
But my thing is, if you think about how the industry was back then, compared to the way it is now, all that wasn't going on in the industry back then.
No, it wasn't. It was more unity.
Everybody was showing each other love and everything. And
it's true.
I'm trying to think.
It's true.
And, you know, as you go on, you think about when Eric B. and Rakim was out as well, it still wasn't going on. But then when the situation, I think, believe it or not, my theory is when the situation got with Biggie and Pop, that's when it got serious. Because if you think about it, when KRS and who was it, MC Shan was going at it, they were going at it, but they didn't get to that point where, all right, well,
no,
I'm
it was
going
all about
the
fun in the hip hop, fun in the music. See, you realize
exactly.
Hip hop, that's where hip hop comes from. You're saying it's about being, it's fun competitiveness. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking it to the streets, you know what I mean? They're keeping it on wax.
Right.
That's how it was back in the days. You know, if a person had a problem with you back in the days, an artist or artist, they'd come see a blogger see you. They wouldn't, like, you know, make it all, you know, media known. You would know because they would be on your block looking for you. You know, it was
right.
Something real serious. But other than that, they kept it on wax.
I mean, and when you take it back as far as that, I mean, back in the day, if we get into it, you're either going to whoop my butt or I'm going
to
whoop yours, and 5 minutes
That's
later,
right.
we're best
to,
of friends.
To see another day.
It wasn't
exactly.
about no guns, razors, jumping people, none of that. You
you're
know,
right
but now, and I honestly, around in my area, the females are worse than the guys.
Wow.
They are worse than, and I'm talking about the young girls. You know, I wish you would go out there, me being an adult, I wish I would say something to a 13 or 14-year-old. Next thing I know, here come about 20 of them ready to jump me. Just because I told you, you
see,
need to watch your mouth.
Yeah, because you also remember back in the days, you know, when you was coming up, your neighbors, you know, your mother's friends, you know.
Anybody whoop your butt.
Everybody cared, you know. If you did something wrong, they all whipped your behind and went home and told your mother and brought you to
and
your mother.
And then you get another one.
And then you get another whipping. That's how it was back in the days when I was coming up.
And you know, I, actually, when you think about it, our parents didn't really allow us to fight.
No,
you're going to have
to
hug. I don't care if it's two girls or two guys. You're going to have to hug and make up.
That's right. That's
and
right.
If they hear any more about it, you're getting your butt whooped at home or wherever you are.
That's
but
right.
Now, no, you got the parents out here beefing with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my kid don't do no wrong, but you can't say that. That's even with an adult. Once that adult is, your back is turned, you don't know what they have done in that second.
That's true. You're right about that. You are right about that.
Hold along. We have another caller. We're going to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Who's this calling in?
This is Kim.
How you doing, Kim? Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from the Bronx.
From the Bronx, okay.
Yes.
Bronx is in the building tonight. We shutting down the airwaves tonight.
Well, I'm not from no Bronx.
It's cold. It's cold. It's
where
cold.
You from?
And the snow is coming down.
I'm from
down.
New Jersey.
I think it's stopped by now.
Okay.
But what was the topic tonight, guys?
I didn't hear the question.
The topic.
What's on the topic tonight?
No.
You said what? I'm sorry. Well,
he's making a big connection tonight.
He's ready to go in.
No. The club is on the topic tonight. I'm sorry.
That's real cute.
I hear that.
No, she said, what's the topic?
Yes.
Oh, the topic. The topic is, you know, I want to know what does the general public think of all this industry beef and that's going on with these artists in the industry?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, if we go back to the Chris Brown, he's been in and out for the last couple
weeks.
Well,
he done changed his whole image. I think he used to be he had a wholesome image. His image did change up a little bit.
Yeah, I view him very different at this point.
You know, he's an amazing entertainer, but, you know, his image has changed, you know.
Yes.
He's not the wholesome, you know, hard as a
Do you think it's because of Brianna his image changed? But that joint with him and Drake was ridiculous.
No, that's his true colors coming
it's
out.
It's him.
To me personally, I think that's how he really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's no way you can get into a relationship and all of a sudden you have a problem and the next thing you know, you're all over the media and now you're in a club fighting people.
Right.
Who does that? You know, who does that? I think that the whole image, you know, for our younger generation, a lot of them look up to Chris Brown. Right about now, I'm looking at him like, please don't even look up to him. He's not a role model at this point.
Not at all.
You know, he's really not. To me personally, you know, he's not. You know, not at this point in the game, to me.
Well, I think
you
started out
as
young anyway.
I mean, it could be a few things. You know, being that, you know, I'm in the industry myself. I think, you know, it could be a few things. One of the things that it could be is that people around him are not. You know how sometimes, you know, when you're the artist and you're the breadwinner of the camp, you know, you have a lot of yes men around you. You know what I mean? There's no one giving him no real inside guidance as to, you know, listen, man, you need to, like, fall back and, like, really check yourself.
Right.
You know, this is not really right what you're doing. This is really
come out with some respect. That's the main thing. Respect yourself first, you know? He's
exactly.
Not doing it at all. You know, and when you disrespect, and I say this for any man, but women just as well, when you disrespect yourself or if a man disrespect a woman, you have lost all respect for me. You know, I can't deal with you. If you out here beating on women, you know, in other words, you ain't nothing but a punk because you're not going to stand up to that man unless you got a weapon.
But you know what? in that situation, I think you got to realize some of these guys that do that, not trying to protect them, but they if they have their father figure around them and see their father doing it to their mother, I think that's where they also pick that up at.
That's
yeah.
true, too.
But they did say that, you know, that the family kind of went through issues like that when he was coming up, you know what I mean? But then you can also look at it like this. If you've seen your family go through that and your mom go through that, that's to teach you of not what not to do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
or,
you know,
or
and,
seek some type of counseling.
Yeah, if you need it. You
know, and especially if you got the money. He's got the money to get any type of counseling he wants.
This is my point. You know, that's my point. Like, a lot of these artists have made it out. You understand what I'm saying? And they're acting as if they're still living in the hood.
Right.
I mean, you got to, you know, when you change your zip code, you know, you got to change your attitude. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Like,
ghetto
you
stereotype.
You know what I mean? You just got to, like, you know, tone it down. You can't be acting like that. You can't act like that in this industry.
Yeah, okay, but do you guys really think, okay, just going into just a little theory, do you really think that he really did beat up Brianna? Like, really?
No, I think she probably popped up on him first.
See, that's
I
what I
that.
Think. That's what I think.
First, yeah, she got some mean. Issues, too.
I mean,
you know,
he's
a fourth rat.
Right.
She probably didn't think he was going to knock that, split that wig like he did.
I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe she pushed it to the limit. I mean, you know. But if it comes, it gets to that point, then, you know, it's time to go. Before I got to bash your face, I'd rather stop being with you.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And I mean,
that's
the first thing he went for.
Exactly.
You know, but I mean,
I'm
like,
the phone lines is on fire.
You're not going to die though. Who knows? Maybe he's going to put a surprise hit to the jaw. I don't know.
All right. The phone lines is on fire, y'all. Listen, all the listeners, if you want to join in on a topic, all you got to do is press 1. The phone lines is on fire. Press 1 and join in on the topic for Uncle Swift General Question. If you're on your PC, the number to dial 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. Or you can stand in line and hear the show. All right, guys, y'all. I just had to get that information out. You know.
Okay. Yeah, but seriously.
But they got back together, though. They got even though they got
to
the fight.
With
I've
the
seen that
day.
Coming, though. I've seen it coming. I have to be honest. I did see that coming.
You know what? I never thought that they stopped, actually. I thought that what they were doing was, like, you know, dating different people in the media because they're celebrities, you know, so to speak. And they didn't want to bring so much attention on themselves. But I think that they never stopped, to me.
She was doing her little tricking, and so was he. And they was getting upset because they were seeing each other with other people, and it wasn't working.
And they still had trouble with each other.
Right.
Hey.
Right.
I mean,
but you know Chris Brown is young anyway. You know, he was young anyway when he started. I think he had a persona of, okay, let me get out there. You know, his head got split open while he was young. You know what I mean? Started making all that money. So I think that guy be doing what he was doing. You know? Rihanna, she was with Jay-Z. She was with Jay-Z, you know what I mean? So it was like,
you
see how much power he had. Exactly. You know, you see how much power he had when he couldn't, Chris Brown couldn't even perform when he got in a fight with her. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, the industry is just ridiculous sometimes. It's really ridiculous. Like, you got Nicki Minaj and Mariah, arguing with Mariah Carey.
And that's not, I think Nicki Minaj, I'm sorry, you know, like, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm not one to call anybody out, but I just feel as though that she should have a certain more greater respect for Mariah Carey. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know,
yeah,
exactly.
I remember they did a collaboration together at one point. I do remember.
But look, she doesn't have a greater respect for her because,
you know, but
you know
she doesn't have that kind of respect for her. I mean, this is Mariah Carey talking about here. Let's be realistic here.
But see, I don't know. I mean, I think that Nicki's credibility isn't that great anyway, just my opinion. You know, I think some of her songs is good, but for the most part, it's like, all right, if she's with this person, she's with that person, you know, at the same time. I mean, she's not a role model either. You know, I'm still waiting for a role model to come on the industry so that the kids have something to look up to.
Right
about now, who is it,
what,
you know?
You know
right?
what?
I mean,
go
ahead.
I think that's going to be kind of hard because you got to realize the role models that these kids is looking at now, it's all about, you know, the gangster rap, gangbanging, the shooting, you understand? Ain't nobody that's out there right now that's going to be like, all right, you know, put it to that point that mentality that they had back then, telling the stories, you know, about what you could do and everything.
That's
all you look out now, It's either, you know, you know, let me spot kick, you know what I mean? Even if you got artists talking about doing things in a closet, it's good. You can still do a party joint like that. But now you got these artists that's like, you know, I'm like, wow, the stuff they say, and I'm like, oh, come on. It, to me, it really don't make no sense to me what exactly the stuff that they pronounce and if they plan on being a role model.
But
that's
I think if enough artists come on the scene, you know, doing a positive thing, and they stay positive along
mm-hmm.
their career, I think if enough of them come along, then I think that, you know, things will change, you know, things will change a little bit. But I think the more people that come on and that they're promoting so much sex and, you know, the big butts and the fancy cars and the naked women and stuff like that, I mean, just think, a lot of women even go and get the injections to make their butt look bigger for the industry.
Exactly.
I mean, Nicki Minaj alone, I don't know if anybody's seen the picture, but I've seen the picture of what she looked like, what she used to look like versus
mm-hmm.
what she looks now. And I think her and Little Kim is running races, to be honest. So I think they're running races of who can get the most plastic surgery at this point. But if you look at them from back in the day, look at Little Kim from back in the day with a hardcore,
yeah.
all right?
Yeah,
look at that compared to what we have right now. Look at Nicki Minaj when she used to be skinny is all you know what, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Extremely skinny, no butt. I mean, she's still cute, but now she done got the fake boobs. She done got the big old balloon booty. I mean, come on. All the girls now want that, you know? That's ridiculous to me. It's like, all right, you're promoting sex too much to me. Just be original.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And
just be original.
I
agree.
Just be original.
Gotta be original. This is why, you know, it takes stations like, you know, Rich Money, you know, and G Palace Radio to break artists like Curtis Jones and Mike Moet, you know what I mean, and Black Prince Dawn, because my team, you know, we are all original, you know what I mean? And
right.
We're undiscovered. Like, you know, we're not mainstream yet, but we have a mainstream sound, you know what I mean? And we're humble.
Right.
We, like, we love what we do, and we're trying to bring something refreshing out the box.
Right, but see, I think the key word to what you said was yes. You know, you're working on it, but when it
mm-hmm.
does come to the scene, you guys are going to come original, you're going to come correct, and you know exactly what not to do. So
exactly.
Therefore, if you're being original, you're going to do what you have to do. You know, if people are coming on the scene and they're not being original and they still want to do the same big old dookie change and the big old earrings and the plastic booties and naked women, I mean, granted, we have enough of that already. You know?
Right, it's true.
I think the industry is flooded with that.
You have to be original, you know what I mean? Like, I keep my dudes looking nice, you know what I mean, and my ladies and my manager, but I'm not trying to have them, you know, over-exploiting themselves, no.
Right.
Exactly.
I will say, ladies, if we have two ladies on the line, I do have something special dropping. February 14th from our R&B artist. He has something special for you guys. He has a romantic EP that's coming out. It is spectacular.
Okay.
Well, hold on for a minute, Suzu, because we have another call on the line. We're going to bring them on real fast.
Okay, Rich.
Hello, Cora, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello,
how you doing?
Yeah. Hello,
good evening.
Are you there?
Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear us? Are you there?
Yeah,
are you there?
I can hear you.
All right. There she goes, Twitch. It's on you.
How you doing, sweetie? Tonight's top general question is, what do you think of all of the industry beefing that's going on, you know, in the industry with these recording artists?
Well, I think some of the artists that are out now is nothing like the old school artists and the real music that we had back in the day.
Okay.
You know, some of the stuff that I think they have out now is not, you know, it's not that good. It's not good for kids and, you know, things like that. But stuff back in the day was really, really good. It was meaningful back in the day. Now it's all about money and cars and women and stuff like that. So I think it went down quite a bit.
Okay, that's a good point. So what do you think about, you know, artists coming at each other? You know, like artists that have made it out, you know, from where they're from or their neighborhoods, you know, and they've gotten to a point where they become successful, you know, in the industry. And they, like, you know, they can do anything they pretty much want to. They can go buy anything they want to. They can travel when they want to. What do you think about them beefing with each other? Like, all this industry beefing, what do you think about that?
I think that's crazy because everybody's out there making money, but I guess they might feel like They don't want another person to make more money than they make, or
yeah.
I guess have more clout than they have, or
mm-hmm.
you know, they want to be on top all the time. You know, it could be a bunch of stuff. I think it's all stupid, and, you know, the fighting and killing and stabbing and bottles popping over people's heads, that's just crazy. You know, the music, like I said, back in the day, was nobody doing all of that. You know, they were just trying to make money and, you know, do what they do.
And you notice that back in the days, the artists were, like, you know, more family-orientated, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, Swizz, I want you to hold the line. We have another caller. We're going to bring them on, all right?
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
What up? I'm here.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
What up, baby? This is Dallas. This is Dallas, baby.
What's going on?
What's going on, baby? What's going on, Big Rich?
When you calling in Dallas,
I'm calling from Staten Island in a snowstorm. That's what I'm calling in from right now, baby.
Wow. Okay, Dallas in the building from Staten Island. Good to hear you, brother.
Yes.
Okay, so tonight's general question is, what do you think about all of this industry beefing that's going on with these artists in the industry?
If you're going to keep it music-wise, it's great for the business. If you're not, then it's not great for the business. You know what I'm saying? It's a catch-22. If you're going to keep it on wax, on music, stuff like that, it's great for the business because it keeps the other artists on their toes, you know, what's going
right,
on, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Good point.
You're saying,
good point.
Like back in the days, it was always rap beats, but they kept it on record, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They kept
that
it on wax. All the old school rappers in the 70s and 80s, 90s, they all only ones that didn't keep it on wax was, you know, on God Bless Dead, Biggie and Pac, you know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
And that was more, and that really wasn't even them. That was more the people that's behind the scenes behind
yeah, that was
that,
more
you know
media story right there.
Right. But if they're going to keep it on record, then they could look how many beats LL had. You know what I'm saying? LL had beats with like, yeah,
exactly.
Beats. You know what I'm saying? There was no fighting, no nothing, just on wax. And they all made music. And they all made money off of it. You know what I'm saying?
He proved that, you know, that he was the number one person at that time, and he ended careers, is what he did.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
that's what rap music was all about back in the days. It's the same way it is now. Like, it's about being competitive. But like the
right.
point which was made earlier that a lot of these artists feel like they have more money than each other. You know, they want to overshine each other. You know, the jealousy
mm-hmm.
kicks in. You know, their they feel like their manhood has been,
right.
I'd say, disrespected. And they like,
and all
know,
that,
they have,
yeah, like you said, all that comes into like being
all
a man.
That,
ego,
pointless.
Ego
all
comes
that,
in. It ain't even music. It's
all
ego now.
Pointless. It's all pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, what are you really arguing about?
Right.
You can't be arguing
about
being broke no more because you ain't broke no more.
Exactly.
Then you can't be arguing about, you know, how I'm gonna pay this bill. You know, because you could pay all your bills and your friends' bills and whoever else's bills. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
what are you really arguing about? You know, and that's saying that they don't have problems and whatnot. Not to say that someone that becomes successful in the business doesn't run into problems, but it's all about
right.
how you handle it.
But do you think it's they arguing and stuff and fighting because it's more like who has more money? Then, or
I mean,
do you think that one person doesn't respect the other person?
That's exactly what it is. It's over money. It ain't over no. I'm a better rapper than you.
Nah,
or this, like, you
money.
Know what I'm saying? It's all about money.
That's true. It's all about
the all that money out
right,
there.
No, this rapper don't care about what you spitting or how you rap. He's mad that you got money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to stop you from getting money because they feel like, you know, it's like in the jungle. Who's
right.
gonna be the king of the jungle? You know what I'm saying? If I'm the hottest artist out there right now, ain't nobody else getting no money.
Right.
You know
but
what I'm saying?
When
50 was out there, everybody's buying 50 records. Nobody's records but 50s. When Ja was out there, everybody buying Ja's. You know what I'm saying? It's just different.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but when they start fighting and acting a fool, I'm not buying nobody's tape.
Well, that's what I said. If you keep it on strike. if you keep it on record, you know what I'm saying, on music, then you're good. You're good money. If not, then you're in trouble. Because now ain't nobody getting no damn money.
Right, but you did hear about the guy that had got hurt in the process of Chris Brown's one of his situations. He's now suing for like millions of dollars.
I heard about that.
Who's that? I didn't hear about
no,
that.
That's what's his name? That's
Frank Ocean?
No.
What's
his name? Frank
Ocean, right?
Tony Parker,
no.
Frank
Ocean?
No, I think it was
Frank
Ocean.
Tony Parker got something in his eye during the scuffle where he threw all the bottles in the club.
Uh-huh.
Oh, with Drake. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So he was trying to, he's suing now. Not trying, he's suing. He's actually suing.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? You injured me. Give me some of that money.
Sometimes I think they start beef with each other just for controversy to sell more CDs. Sometimes I think the beef was 50 Cent enough to get who else?
Kanye, I believe. Because all that stuff they were spitting, they got to live up to now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all that is. Yeah. I'm spitting out the, I'm a killer, I'm a gangster, I'm this, I'm that. And then when somebody check you on it, you can't run.
They were asking Rick Ross about that. They were asking him on Rick Ross about that because he was a correction officer.
Right.
You didn't do all that stuff.
Right.
Maybe he's just not in the music industry. Maybe he did it before he was a correction officer.
I don't know how true it is. Allegedly, I heard that they took shots at him not too long ago.
Huh?
Say that again,
can I hear about that?
That what?
What you said?
About Rick Ross. We got to hear about the alleged.
They shot his car up,
Yeah. No, they shot his car up. Yeah, the Gangster Disciples, supposedly, or something like that.
Wow, I didn't hear about that one.
That last week?
Yeah,
they tried to shoot up his Bentley. Somebody.
And he crashed up and went into somebody's yard.
And this is what I'm talking about. This has to stop.
Okay, yeah, I did hear about that. You know, I did hear about that. And when it crashed, the guys left. Somebody was saying, matter of fact, it was something I was interviewing. I was talking about it. The car, they shot at them. The car crashed. And they're still going after them. They left or something. And they was like, well, if you wanted to finish the job, if you really wanted to do it, you would have got them when it crashed.
That's a fake gangster right there. That's because any real person that's going to shoot up a car, they're going to shoot to kill. Plain and simple. They don't want you to be able to walk about this car. They're going to shoot to kill if they really want you dead.
That's true, too. How we know that really happened?
That could have been set up, too.
They saying it's a publicity stunt, too, because that's what 50 was on. 50 was on this is 50.com saying, man, ain't no bullet holes in that man car, nothing, man. Who's shooting at him?
Exactly. That was a set up, too. Welcome record.
Yeah, 50 has been known to call you out.
Mm-hmm.
So they should call them out to me.
I mean, because not for nothing, if you're going to arrange something like that, and mind you, you didn't get hit not one time. You don't have no bullet wounds. There's no bullet holes in the car or nothing like that. Come on.
Wow.
It could be a publicity stunt, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It has to be. But I'm still not going to buy his records just because his car got shot up.
I support your music. You know what I mean? I gotta give
correction officer or not, the man make good music, and he's the only one that battled with 50 and came out on top.
Yes,
the only one.
Well, yeah, he did come out. I get that.
He's right. He actually elevated after that.
That's elevated. The only one that had beef with 50 and made it out and making more money. Only one.
Okay.
Yeah. I give him that.
I give him that,
too.
I'm just saying, if he put on the shirt, he might do better. I'm just saying.
You know what?
if he put on the shirt, he might do better. Because I'm tired of seeing his boobies out there looking bigger than mine. I'm tired of that. Looking like he's out there.
It is kind of gross, right?
Exactly. That's so bad. Like, put your shirt on. Who told you to take off your shirt? That should be illegal.
Whoever told them, they need to get a charge for it because it's not sexy at all. He's trying to bring sexy back for the big black dudes, man. That's because Biggie made it like that.
Black and ugly as ever, however.
Yeah.
Exactly, but you know what? I don't remember not one time Biggie Smalls taking off his shirt performing.
Biggie ain't never took off his shirt.
Exactly. You could be big, black, and ugly. I don't care. You could be that.
I don't care about that. Y'all hating on that man's sexiness. Some double D's hanging out there, like you don't give a damn about the twins.
Come on.
Y'all hating on that man's sexiness.
That is not sexy.
That's a 24. Listen, it's more like a 48 if they even sell that. That's a 48 right there. He about to give birth to twins. But you know what? I would still support it. I would support his music. I'm just saying, I think that he'll do a lot better if he did put a shirt on. Cover them double D's up, please.
Ew.
You know,
I mean, it was
kind of
gross.
But you know, even though, but you got to realize, who was it? It was Bone. Who was it? Big Bone or something that took his shirt off first. The light skin guy. What was his name?
Oh, Bone Crusher. Yeah.
Bone Crusher. Yeah, there you go.
I don't care.
Oh, okay. He needed a bra too.
It wasn't a good look.
He needs a bra. He needs a bra and a girdle as well. But
oh my God.
But Rick Ross does it all the time.
Listen.
But look, he makes good music, and he has a 9-to-5.
Here we go, 9-to-5.
Yeah, 9-to-5.
It's just like R. Kelly with the tape. When he came out with the tape, everybody was assuming, oh, he did this to a little girl, he did that to a little girl, such and such, boom, boom, boom. But they were still listening to his music.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. He turned me off from that. Peeing on a little girl and stuff. That's what you're talking about.
That was.
So you gonna tell me? I'll tell you. So he chucked you for that. So you ever heard his new recent stuff like "Share My Love" and all that?
No.
You
no,
gonna
what
tell
I'm
me if you're in the club? If you're in the club and that come on, you ain't gonna start dancing?
No. What I said was he turned me off for a little while with that. You know,
to be able to look
at a video, you know, of him peeing on a little girl. I mean, that right there, that turned me off. That made me a little.
That
discouraged.
Wasn't cute.
You know, that
yeah.
I'm not taking
okay,
nothing
okay,
from his
okay.
music. You know, because
but the other video with the other girls turned you on, though?
What'd you say?
How about the other videos with the other girls? That turned you on?
You know what? Trying to put me on the spot. I watch porn. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm just saying.
There's nothing wrong. But you got to mention all of it. It was one video about all the sessions in this. You got to name them all. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I'm going to say the one video with him peeing on the little girl.
That was,
I give him a hand clap for that one. But I'm just saying. But the one with the little girl.
That was extreme.
But the other video that I've seen.
Since we're talking about that, I'd like to know to the fellas. I'm a straight dude. Let's get it to keep it 100. But what the hell does a dude get out of pissing on a woman anyway? Like, this is, I don't know.
Like, I had a girl tell me to get up. She said, pee on me. I'm like, what?
You're going too far.
Yeah, my thing called back up in my stomach. I'm like, man, I ain't want no more of you. What the hell would I do with you? You want me to pee on you? Man, that's
she want a golden shower.
Man, that turned me off.
Well,
my thing called up in my stomach, man.
Okay, so none of y'all ever peed on a girl? That's what y'all saying?
I never did. No, I never did.
I ain't going to lie. I did. So I ain't going to lie.
I didn't.
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to keep it real. You know, and I hope she ain't listening, but, you know.
Not either.
But
I hope
did.
It wasn't a
disgusting.
I hope it wasn't a
because you know what?
You
they asked for it. It wasn't something I asked them, and they was like, no. But then later on down the line, they was like, okay, yeah. So, you know, I ain't going to lie to you. I know I got a lot of listeners listening on the line and everything, but.
Yeah.
I need y'all to cover your ears right now. Cover your ears right now.
This is a dope conversation.
Yeah, cover your ears right now. Right now, this is like a Monday show. So I need you to cover your ears. Now, what it is when I was doing it, it wasn't even coming out like that. It was just like a
she told me to do it. I tried. But it wasn't even coming out. Don't tell me to do that, man. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I looked at it completely different after that. I'm telling him, I was like, how many other niggas have peed on you? You know what I'm saying?
I was told it was never done before. But I was like, hey. It was an experience,
now,
though.
I'm thinking, if I'm kissing on her neck or her chest, I'm like, damn, did somebody pee over here before? You know?
Hey, slap
on
your back.
I'm just hearing
you.
Hey, but you know what? I'm just saying. I didn't bring that up. Somebody else brought that up.
Somebody pee on me. That ain't happening. You ain't pissing on me. I'm sorry.
When a woman squirts, she pissing on you. So what's the difference?
What?
When she squirts, what? Listen, this is a Friday show. We're not coming to a Monday show. This is a Friday show. I have all types of listeners. We ain't getting into that.
I'm forgetting.
All right?
This might be that freaky lady. I think I know that lady. She's freaky.
This
that
is a Friday show.
Like me.
This is all the entertainment. It's not relation, life, and loyalty. Relation, life, and loyalty. I mean, love, life, and loyalty. It's not love, life, and loyalty. This is love and entertainment. Don't get the love mixed up.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
Not get the love mixed up.
Okay, so I don't even, you know what, I did have a question, but I changed my mind. I don't have a question.
Well, it depends on how you state your question. If you can state it in a manner where it's not like so provocative, then go ahead with it. You understand? Go ahead.
No, because you know what? I don't think there's a way to clean up the question after the caller just made a statement. Because I would want someone to elaborate on that. But since it's a Friday show, I don't think they can. I mean, unless you're going to allow it.
It depends.
But
like
it is
a
forum.
I have all types of listeners. In. You know, I got son, he's 15. I don't try to become a grandfather, no time soon.
He's getting older listening to this conversation.
Oh, wow.
Put it in the forum.
You don't want to become no grandfather, no time soon, or nothing like that.
Why not?
But back to the topic. No, Swiss, you there?
Okay, I'm here. For the caller that's calling on the line, the topic is what do you guys think of all this new industry beefing that's going on with these artists in the game?
Hey, yes, my live is on fire. If you want to join in the topic, just press 1. It's all love and entertainment. All you got to do is press 1. If you're on your PC, the number to dial is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to join in on the topic, or you can stay on the line, I guess like you're doing now, and hear the show.
Okay, but what is... Okay,
maybe
I have a different
Friday
question.
Zoom.
I have a different question. How about that? Can I ask a different question real fast?
Sure.
All right. What did you guys think about the R. Kelly trapped in a closet? Do you think he's vicarious?
I think it was too extreme.
I think you need to sit. Behind that. That's what I really think you need to.
Yeah, you know, that just took it to a whole nother. And then he came out with another part of it. You understand?
Yeah,
even
like,
after
yeah,
the
like four,
what?
Four, you good.
Like,
you got like
intrigued.
Number 683. Come on, man.
I sat through it.
But you
he's
know what?
Curious
I'm not gonna lie.
As to what it's like.
I'm not gonna lie. If you sit there and you watch the video to it, it's like watching a movie, and it's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was good, but it kind of
But it kind of had me thinking that maybe he likes men and women.
Oh damn.
He probably do.
Wow.
But he ain't gonna let that be known.
You know what I think?
It had me thinking he's looking for attention. That's what it had me thinking.
I think the man got a little freak up in him, but I ain't going to say he's like...
But he might have dropped the soap a couple of times.
I think he got the freak in him, but he also, as far as the freak, he feel like he can't get a real woman.
He has one. I've seen his wife. No, I've seen his wife on one of the reality shows.
His ex-wife.
I've seen his ex-wife on one of the reality shows. She did not look
like all of that to me.
But you know what? He got sweet low in him.
No, but you know what? I've seen her on the reality show, and I don't know. I just pictured him with somebody a little different.
Yeah, I pictured with something a lot better. She can do a lot better than that.
I pictured him with somebody different, too.
That was the chick that was down with him from day one right there.
Oh, okay. The high school.
That's the chick that he broke the energy with. You know what I'm saying? You know how that goes, you know what I'm saying? Before he break, you know, breaks, you know, that chick.
Man, he was with Aaliyah back then, man. That wasn't day one.
He was with who?
Aaliyah.
He was with Aaliyah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he was like 16. He was like 28 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was robbing a cradle, but I just think like, okay, so good example. When you go from Aaliyah to the lady that was on TV, I mean, wow, that's a downgrade right there.
Yeah.
That's a downgrade. And then she's on the TV trying to find a man and stuff like that, dating and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think
oh,
that's
man.
A good look. But that was just my, you know, that was just my question, you know. But I think that R. Kelly might have dropped the soap a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
You know, but
I don't know what he did. I think he need a hug. That's what I think he need a hug.
He was singing, bend it over, bend it over.
You know what? This lady is freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
But I don't know. What's your final thought on a topic?
Who's mine?
Prison.
Oh, okay.
Is he there?
Who, me?
Yeah, Swizzle, you there?
Who you? Swizzle's not. I've been Swizzle's gone,
but.
Well, you there?
My final thought.
I had a guy for the general question. I'm looking for Uncle Swizzle. Where he go? You want to give your final thought? I'm looking for Uncle Swizzle.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
he is.
Oh, there you go.
What's your other line, Mike Moore, actually. My other artist just called in on my other line. Mike Moore just called my other phone.
Oh, all right.
He said he's going to call into the show in a few.
Oh, all right, because, yeah, I definitely want to play his joint, too. Now, the fact, let the listeners know a little something about you, then give your final thought. Let them know about your showcase you got coming up as well, and then give your final thought on the topic.
Okay, hold on. Call you back, Mike. Wait, we got the number? All right, something about myself. Well, first of all, I'm from the Bronx, New York, the South Bronx. You know, I've been doing music from the time I was, I'm going to say, 13 years old. All right, I used to be the dude that used to be running around, you know, carrying crates for artists like the Cold Crush Brothers and the 470s and, you know, who else? You know, T-Connection, you know, Curtis Blow, you know, artists like that. And basically, like, you know, I gravitated to music, you know, just listening to it, you know, and my cousins used to listen to music, you know, and make a long story short, when I was 16, on my 16th birthday, you know, I used to work at the Beer Wholesale on 207th Street. And, you know, my boss, he gave me $800 for my birthday. You know, I was 16 years old. Never had a big win like that in my life, you know. And he gave me $800 for my birthday. And I said, I'm going to take this money. I'm going to go buy me some music equipment. So I went and bought me, you know, some speakers, turntables, you know, and me and my cousin, you know. My cousin, you know, I brought it over to his house. I said, Chris, listen, look what I got. I got two PBS speakers, you know. I had two turntables, you know. And matter of fact, I didn't even have enough for the second turntable. I only had bought one turntable and a mixer and an amplifier. I didn't have enough for the other turntable. So my cousin, you know, he started DJing, you know, teaching himself how to DJ. And he started getting good with his left hand, you know. And like I said, we only had one turntable. So then the following, I'd say, month or so, we ended up getting another turntable. And we used to DJ, you know, and make tapes in the house, you know, on my aunt's coffee table, which was his mother, you know. You know, rest in peace to Roof City. That's my aunt. And, you know, we used to DJ in the house and everything, you know. And aside from doing that, I used to travel, like, you know, to the shows with, like, the Cold Crush Brothers and, you know, and the Force and D's. And, like I said, go out to Jersey and everything. And I seen the response that they used to get, like, you know, from the audience when they was up there performing. And I said, this is something that I got to do. If I'm not doing it myself, then I have to, you know, get behind someone that I really feel, you know, has that talent, that true talent, you know, and that real, that come with that real music. I have to get behind that. So I became a rapper myself. You know, I used to rap back in the days with my three cousins. We used to call ourselves the Mighty Three MCs. It was myself, JDD, and LZ. You know, we used to call ourselves the Mighty Three. We was doing shows, you know. Started doing what I seen the Cold Crush doing, the Force and D's do. You know, started doing, like, little talent shows throughout the Bronx and whatnot and junior high schools. And like, from there, we started throwing parties, you know what I mean? And while we were throwing parties, you know, our buzz started getting up, you know. It really started out in my aunt's house. We started throwing house parties in her house because at the time we didn't have enough money to pay the rent, you know. So I said, you know something? I think it'd be a good idea if we threw a party. So we did it, and it worked. But the thing is, it got so packed. Like, we had people come from all over the Bronx, you know, to this one house party. Like, my aunt only had a two-bedroom apartment, and she had a big step-down living room right there on Sheridan Avenue in the Bronx. And the place was so packed. We had people all in the hallway. It was just crazy. So every week we started doing this, you know, and then the word got out. But then this girl that I used to date, her uncle used to own a club back in the days on 163rd Street called the La Conga. We started throwing, we were the youngest boys, the youngest dudes. We had our own club. I was young. I was like 18 years old. We had our own club, partying, throwing parties every week. Our own club, like, that was crazy back in the days to have your own club. And we was like 16 and 18 years old. We wasn't like even grown men yet. You know what I mean? But we were responsible for our own clubs, and people was coming from all over the place. Like, old, even older people was coming to our parties. And, you know, we took, you know, one thing led to another. We built our own recording studio. Then I started managing artists, you know. Then I came across Mike Mouet. You know, Mike Mouet, like, at the time when I met him, he was like, what, 12 years old, 13, something like that, you know. And he was like the hottest rapper on my block at the time. Like, at the time, he used to be battling rappers. Like, you know, he really didn't know anything about, like, making songs, you know what I mean? All he knew is that he can rhyme, and he can out-rhyme you. So people were, like, all the artists started battling him, you know, coming from all over the damn place, was battling him, and, you know, he would win. Like, he would be, and the thing is, was that Mike was battling you and, like, beating you with just freestyles. He wasn't even, like, no written rhymes. He would roast you with freestyles. So I said, you know something? I said, you're really good. I said, you know, I'm going to start taking you to the studio, you know, and start teaching you the real, you know, the ins and outs of how to create a song, like, you know, from the hook, you know, to the verses, you know, how to, like, you know, how you got to time your voice, you know, on the beats, you know. And, like, I started taking him to the studio, you know, he started getting better and better. Like, you know, he started idolizing artists like Big Daddy Kane, you know, Rakim. He didn't, and Mike, one thing about Mike, he didn't, like, really, you know, give it up to anybody. Like, you know, he's really, you know, it's for him to, like, say you're good. Like, you know, you had to be really good, and you had to, like, really be better than him. And that's just what it was. Like, you know, so pretty much, you know, I started, like, you know, building, working on my craft, like, you know, managing artists, you know, and one thing led to another. And I'm today, like, you know, I have my own camp, you know. Shout out to Black Fest Dawns, you know, my artist. Shout out to Mike Mouet, Cousin Sean.
You know what I want to do? Because
what's
before
that?
We end your segment, I'm gonna play one of your artist tracks. We're gonna start it off with the next segment. My Addiction. Who actually? That track is crazy. So Deep is crazy. Balling is crazy. My Addiction is what I want to start it off with before when I bring on the next segment. So let us know who actually did that single and everything.
Okay. Well, the person that did that single, his name is Mike Mouet. All right.
Oh, that's Mike. Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Mike Mouet. That's my first. That's my primary artist. You know what I mean? Like, he's the front man for Third Ward Entertainment, and he actually recorded that song. The beat was actually produced by Don Mega. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's like down at the D Block camp. He produced the track. You know what I mean? Like, actually, you know, I got it from him. You know, he's like, you know, we made a connection on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? He sent us the beat. You know, and I told him, I said, just send me the beat, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and I'm going to have Mike Mouet do something to it, and I promise you, I'm going to send it back to you before I even let anybody hear it, before I blast it out to the radio. You know, you have to be the first one to tell me what you think of the song. And we recorded the song, you know, he sent us a track, you know, Mike came up with the song. We went to the studio, laid it down, and sent it to Don Mega, and he was like, yo, salute, man. He said, yo, this is a hit right here. Like, you know, he co-signed it. And from that point on, I told myself, listen, I'm going to start blasting the song out. Like, you know, I'm going to start really promoting it. You know what I mean? And, like, you know, see what the response is, you know. And I have to say that, you know, we've had the song out a couple of months, and the response has been great. And this is my point I'm talking about. You know, when these A&Rs are in their offices, you know, and I know I'm going to say the ass word. The ass is not really a real curse. And they sitting on their asses, you know, and they're in their offices, you know, and they're pushing pens, and they're not out there doing their job and discovering talent. At the same time, they talk about the Bronx don't have no talent. You're not looking in the right places. You know what I'm saying? I am. If you want real talent, holler at Uncle Swade, aka Uncle Swizzle. I'm the go to guy when it comes to talent in the Bronx. Like, I am the Bronx. They call me the Diddy of the Bronx. I'm that go to guy. Like, you know, and just looking for that shot, just looking for that person, that investor, or that label that believes in true music and don't mind signing a camp that comes forth with that consistent fire. Everything we touching is fire. And I said this year, you know, instead of me talking so much about it, I'm going to let the music speak for itself. And that's what I've been doing. And, like, you know, and the response has been great. Shout out to everybody that's been supporting us, you know, the whole Third World Black Press Dawn movement. We appreciate guys like you, Rich Money, that, you know, that's given us opportunities to, like, you know, come on the airwaves and, like, you know, and just, you know, bring forth, you know, and be able to, like, explain, you know, what we have going on and just giving us an outlet, man. Like, I want to thank you for that.
No doubt, no doubt. Now, what I want you to do is let everybody know about the events that's coming up.
Okay, actually, you know, we have an event coming up, you know, shout out to Glacier Entertainment, you know, my dude Donnell, Glacier Entertainment. This Tuesday, February 12th, we have a pre-Valentine's Day party going down. The after-work event is from, I believe, it's from 6 to 12 or 6 to 1. This Tuesday in the Bronx at the OZ Tavern. I know a lot of people are familiar with the OZ Tavern. If you're from the Bronx area, you're definitely familiar with the OZ. Right over there on 138th Street, 3rd Avenue. We're going to have it crazy. It's going to be crazy. We got some special treats for the ladies for Valentine's Day. And we have a special feature performance by the R&B phenom, Curtis Jones, performing for the first time two songs off the Romantic EP that we're dropping on Valentine's Day. It's called Romantic. Ladies, I tell you, you're in for a special treat. It's seven songs. Each song, every song is a single. I promise you that. I'm behind it. Everything that Uncle Sway is behind, I'm not boastful. I'm just humble. But the music speaks for itself, man. Like, Number Five coming out the Bronx. And just give us a shot. Support us, you know. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Get in tune with this Third World Black First Dawn movement. We got a lot coming. We got a lot coming this year. Follow behind that. We got Mike Moet's new 50 Shades of Dutch mixtape. All original songs. You know, women. Once again, women. I have actually changed this whole. Those that know Mike Moet, they know what his music sounds like already. On this 50 Shades of Dutch, I'm telling you, Rich, fire, man, fire. When I send it to you, you're gonna say the same thing. You're gonna say,
my dick
is the first single off 50 Shades of Dutch. My dick is the first
single
off that 50 Shades of Dutch. That's the first single, so you're getting the idea of what I'm coming with this year, man. Like, Number Fire. Shout out to Black First Dawn. You know, we got B Dot, the winner mixtape on that piff right now. I'm also releasing a brand new mixtape from DJ, one of the DJs I manage by the name of DJ Star. Tomorrow, I'm dropping his Brown Sugar mixtape, all right? This is something for the ladies and the fellas. They're definitely going to love it. That'll be on treatmymixtapes.com tomorrow, and that'll be on the streets tomorrow. I'm going to pick up the CDs tomorrow. Like I said, with me, it's a constant grind, man. Not to mention, I'm also booking shows for A-list artists. Okay, anybody that want to get at the Rihannas, you want to book Jay-Z, you want to book Kanye West, you want to book anybody you can name, Miguel, Usher, whoever you want to name, Nicki Minaj, I'm booking shows for A-list artists now. I work for a booking agency also, and I'm booking shows for major artists, you know. I got a nice deal for Valentine's Day. It's a little too late now, but for those that come with it, we can do Genuine, Pink, and Tyrese.
I'm going to let you know about that, because I plan on getting Method Man on soon. So after I get Method Man on, I'm going to definitely call you about it.
Okay. Okay. I'm telling you, man, like I said, all you investors out there, you content promoters, you know, you want to book an A-list artist, holler at Uncle Suede. You can email me at UncleSuedeCelebrityBookings@yahoo.com or hit me up on my other email, thirdworldent@yahoo.com. You can reach me on Twitter, /UncleSuede. Facebook, /UncleSuede. Just Google Uncle Suede. I'm on every social network pretty much out there, man. I'm out there. I ain't hard to find.
Well, you know,
just be about your business.
It was definitely an honor having you on. You know, you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. And like I said, you can stay on the line. Matter of fact, what I'm going to do is, in the next segment, I'm starting off with
mine. I could have Mike call in right now and they do his own song. How about that?
Okay, well, do that. You know, you can do that as well, because we're definitely going to play that next. You know, next segment, we got the artists on, and we're going to definitely keep it going.
Okay, good.
All right.
Shout out to all the guests that called in tonight. I appreciate y'all supporting us. You know, we had fun. We had good laughs. Like I said, you guys aren't doing anything Tuesday. We'll be at the OZ Tavern tonight. For those of y'all that are familiar with the Ebony Lounge, tonight we celebrate my homegirl Silent's birthday party tonight at the Ebony Lounge. I'll be there covering the event. I also have a TV show called We Are the Underground TV. So I will be in the building in person, company event, taking pictures. Tonight is going to be epic at the Ebony Lounge, 921 East 163rd Street in the Bronx. Y'all familiar with the Ebony Lounge, a.k.a. Rude Boy. It's going to be on and popping tonight. Come on out, pop bottles with us. Have a good time, man.
All right, no doubt. I'm going to definitely keep that informed.
Mike. Yeah, going into the show now, man.
All right. All right. The Uncle Swizz. Stay on
Rich.
The line. I'm definitely going. You got my. I got your mask, so we're definitely going to keep in touch.
You're ready. Mike is about to call into the show right now, he said.
All right, no doubt.
So when he called in, this time they do the song. And, Rich, thanks. It's been a pleasure. I hope you see my little promo that I did for you, man. Like, you know, like I said, I enjoy being on the show. I enjoy talking to all the guests tonight. You know, like I said, you can reach me on Twitter, / Uncle Suede, Facebook, / Uncle Suede, Uncle Suede, anything. UncleSuedE. Or Uncle Swizzle. Uncle Swizzle. UncleSwizzle. I'll let you, boy. Third world,
no
Black Prince Dons.
For sure. Uncle Swizzle, Dons, and Thieves. All right, coming up next, we have up-and-coming artist Hen J. But what we're going to do for you right now, like I said, my man Mike Mouette, that's dealing with Uncle Swizzle and his management, we're going to start the next segment off with that single. And this is called My Addiction, right here on GQ Palace. Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Be uninhibited. I love the things you like to do. It's new to you. Blame your ass. Hey, y'all was having baby chests. This might be wet, don't play with chess. I'm 50 shades of gray with sex. Some women, they favorite sex, but baby, you my favorite yet. Far more than my latest wreck. Don't know, but JJ stayed this wet. Reality and status check. When I'm done eating, I pay the check. My compliments go to the chef, but I ain't tipped the waiter yet. Vanilla's not your favorite sex. The noise we make neighbors check. We lucky this is song because the movie would be rated X. Love the things you do to me. Baby, when it's you and me, I'm absent from the set. You got my wet practice and truancy. I took them by the 2 or 3, but nowadays it's 1-on-1. Go 3 rounds like UFC, ain't no fun with the 1 and done. Far more than fun and games, though we play with toys and things. She catered to me, make sure I thoroughly enjoy the thing. That's why she my motivation, to let them know my station. Go hard, hustle non-stop, no vacation, no days off. Never laid off. Never. We gon' stay on our burning until we're made off.
Welcome back to GQ Palace, and with me right now, I have up-and-coming artist, MJ, and I also have the artist that did that single right there, My Addiction by Mike Mowet. Yeah. MJ, you there? What's going on, brother?
I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, I'm good.
What's going on? Okay. MJ, I got you. Mike Mowet, I got you on the line.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's happening?
Okay. Now,
hey,
baby. I got MJ. Yes, he's the guest. He's the up and coming artist that's at the segment. But like I said, I also have you on the line, you know, for that single you just did, which is just ridiculous. It is. It's ridiculous. Now, MJ, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get to you, MJ, but Mike Mowet, since I just played your single real fast, I want you to tell our listeners a little something about your single.
A little something about what? I'm sorry?
A little bit about the single. Tell them about a little bit about
the
song,
the single.
Mike.
Tell them about yourself. You know, let us know who done that production. It is bananas. Uncle Sway, I want to tell you, we will be at your event tonight, all right, and on the 12th.
All right, Brett, that's what's up. Just come on
that's
through, man.
Job.
No doubt. Mike Mowet, let us know about your single and everything. Tell us about that real fast.
What's good, man? It's Mike Mowet. Hold on. It's Mike Mowet. I want to be your favorite. And, you know, My Addiction, it basically was like, you know, all the praise about the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy and, you know, the Zane books. And what I wanted to do is, like, capture that energy in a song. So, you know, that's how I came up with My Addiction. Shout out to my dude, Don Mega, D-Rock. He did the production on that.
Now, let me ask you real fast. How long have you actually been rhyming? You understand?
Oh, wow.
MC. I'm going to say MC.
Number on the, yeah,
I'm going to say
rhyming,
MC. I'm not going to say rhyming. I'm going to say MC.
I even thought about making any records. The record thing was really Sway's idea. I just was a dude rapping on the block.
Well, you know what I want to do? I want to definitely have you on as a personal interview because, like I said, I got MJ on, but I want the listeners to know a little something about what to expect from you when I have you on.
All
you
right,
understand
no
what I mean? Because okay. I also got another single I want to play from Uncle Sway, which he got as another one. I believe he got it. It's called So Deep by another artist he got.
Yeah, Jones
and I
C.
also want to play another joint.
That's the Curtis Jones, a.k.a. Jones C. Project. That's off that romantic EP we dropped on Valentine's Day.
That's that making baby joint.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I tell you, Rich, we're not playing with it, man. Third Ward, man. We are the new it for the Bronx. We are the new it. A&R, holler at us, man.
Now, Uncle Sway, what's your dress code for tonight so I know when I come down? Do I have to throw the slacks and shoes on? Or is it like a comfortable...
Just make sure you look
comfortable.
Good.
Come on, comfortable, baby. Just as long as you look nice. You ain't got to put no jacket and shoes on tonight. Now, Valentine's Day, you might want to throw that on. You know what I mean?
That's definitely going to happen.
Pre-Valentine's Day party Tuesday, you know, you might want to get a little bit spiffy.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Tonight,
for sure.
You know, we just going to have a fun. We be relaxed, we laid back, we popping bottles, we celebrating Tyler's birthday party.
Rain, snow, sleet,
or shine, we there tonight.
We're going to definitely be
going to turn up. I'm bringing
down
the camera out, too, tonight, Rich. So I'm going to have the camera, the Blackfoot, the Rio Underground TV on camera out there. I'm going to be taking pictures. Like, that's one of my other hats I wear. I'm going to be out there doing my photography camera thing tonight. So I'm going to be behind the scenes and whatnot, you know.
You got my word. We're definitely coming down tonight, and we're definitely going to be there on the 12th.
Okay, right. So I put G Palace Radio on the list?
Yes, put us down. We're definitely coming tonight. The show ends at 9. We're getting dressed and we out.
Okay, bet. What time are you getting there, Michael? Like around?
You got time. That's what I'm saying. You got time, bro.
You got time, man. You can come there like around 12-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like 12:30.
All right. So what I'm going to do is, I know we're talking live on the air as well. This is what we're going to do. We're going to get down there. We're going to talk. And we're going to schedule a date for Mike to have his interview on the show and bring us those other fire that he got.
Right. Yes, well, sure. Lavina was saying next week. She was saying next Friday, from my knowledge.
If anything, it'll be on the 22nd.
Okay.
On the 22nd, because I'm going to let you know over the air, a person I told to get in contact, they didn't, so I don't discriminate. I don't have time for games. It's the business that I conduct here. You know, if you were serious about it, you would have got in contact when I told you to get in contact with her. Understand what I mean?
True.
You understand? I'm definitely looking at the 22nd. But
I'm
come on, Michael, come on.
I'm with it.
All right, so it's a wrap right there, the 22nd.
We got it.
All right, so we definitely going to make it happen on 22nd. Well, we definitely going to be down there tonight. Ain't no question about it.
That's
like I said, rain, sleet, snow, we going to be down there. So, get that address one more time for tonight.
Okay, the address is at, this is called the Rude Boy, the a.k.a. the new Ebony Lounge, the new renovated Ebony Lounge, 921 East 163rd Street, right here in the Bronx. It's right around the corner from the Big Pun Mural. For those of you that know what the Big Pun Mural is, it's right around the corner. You cannot miss it. The Ebony Lounge.
Is that by Interval?
Right there.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about.
East 163rd Street tonight. The Ebony Lounge.
All right, for the day, we're definitely going to be in the building.
That's what's up.
All right. And I want to tell y'all, it's an honor having y'all on. Mike, the 22nd is definitely a go.
Definitely.
Okay.
Check out
of me. For sure.
I'm going to shut the airways. I'm going to blast that out. You know, I like the promo thing you did too, Rich. The promo you guys did. That was crazy. I happened to look on your wall. I said, wait a minute. It's a promo commercial for today. I'm like, let me blast this out real fast.
Nice.
Good looking.
Y'all blasted that out crazy.
And we're also going to put y'all in a magazine because, you know, we got an online magazine as well.
Oh,
okay. On the magazine. Like I said, we don't have artists like Forcing Beat was on here on our show already. Grand Poobah, Grand came on. Yeah, Khalil, Steve was on. You understand? We had Chuck Freeze on. We had the Manhattans, the Delphonics, Walter Williams from the OJs. We don't have all of them on already.
That's
what's up.
But Rich, like I said, man, we appreciate your support, man. Like I said, we got a lot more heat coming. You know, look out for that Black Fresh Dawn's, you know, the family tree coming soon. I Do It For The People mixtape coming soon. Currently, the winner mixtape is currently on datpiff.com right now. I'm managing nothing but heat, man. Sia Castro, shout out to my dude Sia Castro with that Montage mixtape coming soon. DJ Goldie, new New York City Street Life mixtape coming soon. Y'all be on the lookout, man. BX, back. You're not playing around. Get with us or get moved over, man.
For sure, for sure, for sure. But I want to get this other artist on real fast. Like I said, you know, he's an up-and-coming artist. I told him I'm going to give him some time. So I'm going to get to him.
Okay.
We definitely going to talk tonight, fellas. And I'm going to play that so deep for the next segment. All right?
All right, bet.
Just
bet.
Let them know what they expect on that Valentine's Day.
I got you.
Bet.
All right, for sure.
Rich money.
Sure.
Good looking out, my dude. Real talk, man.
No doubt. So you're going to see us. We're going to be in there tonight. So I'm going to definitely holler at you tonight.
No doubt. You mean Lavina
Richards?
Shout out to Lavina also.
Yeah, she'll be with me. Yeah, that's why.
Okay.
We go after you.
We turn it up tonight.
All right, for sure.
All right.
Let me get back to what I was doing, though. Thanks for the love, my dude. I'm out.
No doubt.
Mike Moore, see you later on, my dude.
Got
all right, for sure.
About an hour or so.
All right.
For sure. We'll definitely be in the building. All right. NJ, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to you, NJ. Now, what's going on?
Nothing really. I'm just trying to get back in Chicago groove.
Okay. Now, you know, I wanted to play some of the material, but like I explained to you, you know, I need you to get that mastered and everything. So, I want the people to know exactly what's going on with you, what events, you know, that you have going on, and you know, like what's your mixtape that's coming out?
Those were the ones that I sent it to you. Those like old mixtapes that I've done. Once when I was like around the age of 13, and because I started making them at the age of 15, because that was when I started making beats, writing songs, trying to learn the business side of music.
Now, I know you're an upcoming artist, you understand, and we at GQ Palace, we support everybody, regardless of the fact. Now, what I want to know is, how old was you when you first started rapping?
Because I was like 11, just not turned 12.
Now, what made you want to start rapping?
Well, it's like, you know, my granddad passed like when I was 11, so it's like, you know, it was like this band teacher that at the middle school, my sixth grade year, I just started, and I walked into her, and she was the one that had introduced me to the whole marching band thing. So like before that, like I really didn't care that much about music as I do now. So that's how that whole thing started. Like me and a couple of got together, and we had started our own rap group. And so we started doing like little feature mixtapes around the city. And one of the A&R from Coach Records, they heard us, so they wanted us to come down there and, you know, do some form. So.
Okay. Now, if you had the chance to open up a showcase for any artist out there right now, who would it be and why?
Wow. The rapper from St. Louis, Nat Nelly from St. Louis Six.
And why would you want to open up for him?
Mainly, he was a guy that I basically looked up to as far as rapping being concerned. Because I've been a fan of him ever since like I first heard of him. So, and I'm still a fan now. So, and like the material he putting out is still got that Nelly like type of swag in there. But he's like trying to be more mature, like a man type. So, which I do think that's hard to like find in any rappers now.
So you feel like, okay, now with the rate that you're going at, you feel like Nelly is more like, would you say he's more like a mentor to you? Do you feel like he gave you that inspiration to write more?
Well, basically, no. No, he gave me that, you know, like that vibe, like that a rapper should have, in a sense. Like, he got his own rap style, he got his own swag, he had his own, like business, he had his own fashion line. It's like so many areas I can point at him and say, like, that's who I want to be, just like Nelly.
Okay. Now, for the fact of you, like you said, you started actually emceeing when your grandfather passed, you know, may he rest in peace and everything. You feel like he shed that light down on you to want to write more, to the fact of you being in the music industry?
God really does work in different ways. So, I mean, like this could have been like that type of a thing. What God could have done, yeah. So, what put me on that road, you know. So it's like. Since I've been doing it for quite a long time, actually. So, it's not music thing popping up over here like it is down there in, like, New York or in Georgia somewhere, so.
Okay. So, now let me ask you, have you done any performances? Did you do any showcases? Or are you planning on doing any showcases? If you did, what showcase have you done? And what showcase do you have coming up?
Well, like, honestly, when I had told you about when I hit the age of 15 and I wanted to know about the music business part, because, like that time when I was rapping between the ages of 11 and 15, I felt like, you know, like, that was a rap for me since I didn't, like, get nowhere as far as where I was trying to get to. So at the age of 15, that's when I started writing songs, producing, engineering, and, you know, so I've been, like, doing the whole production side, and now I'm doing the whole business side of where I'm right now running my label. So I'm trying to get about the business side to see can I actually, you know, make some happen in this area.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Okay. Now, who actually does your productions on your singles, on your music, on your lyrics?
Oh, me. Like, because I still rap. I still sing. I still write lyrics. I still make beats. I still produce, engineer the whole, like, 9 yards. It's just that I've more into the business era is because, like, I spent, like, 5 years wasting on me just being a rapper. I didn't get to that point where I wanted to get to, so I moved to producing, which was from age 15 to 25 was last year. So this year, I'm starting my own label and I'm dealing with the business side. I still deal with the production and the creation part of, like, finding artists, coaching them, just trying to get them to connect with other artists. So,
okay. Well, what I want you to do is I want you to give the people all your information, let them know how they can hear your singles, let them know where they can hear your tracks at and everything.
My single is worldwide. It's on iTunes, Amazon, Rapper City, every store you can find. When you pull up Google with the site being Hendrix, you will see all the links, the pictures, the bios, the press releases and everything. You can actually hit me up on facebook.com/Hendrix Music. That's all one word. Just thank you for twitter.com. /KingJMusic, and I'm just not starting my YouTube page, which is youtube.com/KingJMusic.
Okay. Now, is there any shout outs you want to give to anybody or anything like that?
Only shout out that I want to give out is to you, Rich, for like hitting me up and, you know, it's like helping me get back inside that ballpark. Because I ain't really had no one to actually connect with. So when you hit me up, you kind of like shine that light on me. Because I like to give a shout out to God up top first, because He is the reason why I am who I am and what I'm doing is what I'm doing. So, you know, like as far as like to thank everybody so far that been riding with me, you know, since the whole beginning of my career to now. So just keep on like pushing. So, you know, just pray for me and I'll pray for you.
All right. Well, KJ, we definitely gonna keep in touch. I want you to get those singles ready for me so I can blast them on the air and everything. All right? So we definitely gonna blast them.
I already had emailed you the master version.
Oh, see, and you know what? You should have told me that ahead of time, because I saw you would have played it. Because now we're going into the next segment. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna rotate it for you. So next week I want you to listen in, because I'm gonna play it for you on the air. All right? And we definitely gonna do it like that. All right, no doubt. 10J Dons and Divas. All right, coming up next, we have one of the biggest female promoters in the building, Vanetta Lady V Clark. All right, so stay right there and don't move, because what we're about to play for y'all right now is the exclusive single that Uncle Swiss was talking about. All right? So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
So deep, like way down bottom at the ocean's floor. I just found my treasure in you. So sweet, like the darkest fairies. How I thirst for more. Keeps me coming back when you're true. It's so warm, you're damn near flowing. Melts away my heart. I just want you all to myself. It's so right. I reach for the Bible down. Nothing short of wow. And the way she works, it tell me who's the winner now. Best believe I'm safe. That's how you want it right. There goes my shoes, babe. I'm in here for the night. Your heart's racing, my hands shaking. Stupendous, colossal, epic love making. Bringing out from bed in me. All over your canopy. Toss and turning, I'll never stop turning. So down bottom at the ocean's floor, I just found my treasure in you. So sweet, like the darkest fairies. How I thirst for more. Keeps me coming back for you too. It's so warm, yeah, damn near flowing. Melts away my heart. I just want you all to myself. It's so right. I reach for the Bible down. Some people can't stand it, I brush them off. Sometimes I just get lost in your eyes when you look at me. Nothing else matters, baby. When it's on a boo, makes me want to toast to you. Now that we're here, there's no leaving this room. Don't be like way down.
carries how I thirst for more. Keeps me coming back and makes me so warm. You're damn near blowing, melt away my heart. I just want you to go, girl.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. That was Treasure So Deep by Curtis Jones that my man Onk Swizzle was talking about that's going to be performing at the Tavern on 138th Street, February 12th. Don't forget, tonight is going down at the New Ebony Lounge at 921 East 163rd Street as well. Now, tonight, as another special guest, I have one of the biggest female promoters in the building, Vanetta Lady V. Clark. Vanetta, welcome to the show.
How's everybody doing?
What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just sitting here riding the blizzard out.
Oh, riding the blizzard out. Now,
yeah.
You are actually, I could say, you don't have promoters from Swagger to Black Silk to Terrence to Robert B. Cruz, comedy promoters. You're actually the first female promoter we actually had on the show.
Okay.
And I want to thank you. Oh, and I want to thank you for joining us this evening. Because I know you are a busy woman.
Yeah, very busy, very busy.
I know you got the promotional thing going on. You got the radio thing going on. Tell us a little bit of something about yourself.
Well, the biggest thing in my life is the music. I do the, I also do the radio show called Spinoff Tuesday on MixBully, MixBully.com, every Tuesday from 7 to 10. And, you know, I'm the Long Island hip-hop scene is like dearest to my heart. I promote Long Island very hard, very supportive of all the hip-hop artists out here, and have trying to get a mixtape going for, you know, for everybody out here once again. And then, like, the promoting that comes, to me, that's secondary, you know. It's something, like, now I'm doing the publicist thing, so kind of like promoting the artist named L.E.S. that's down with 730 Dipset.
Okay.
And so the club thing, I do the club thing, and, you know, I try to get my little pitches in. I'm about to start interviewing the mainstream artists, get the cameras out, and, you know, get some interviews going. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with that, but, you know, I have some video footage thing. You know, I'm trying to keep myself busy. I'm a mother, you know, single mom, so I'm doing it,
okay.
You know.
Wow. Okay, so before we get into your promotional thing now, considering the second mother, how do you balance everything out?
How do I balance everything?
Yeah, you know, you got the promotional, you got the video show,
family.
You got...
Well, yeah, I have a very supportive family. My mother is very supportive of me, and, you know, I'm lucky that I still have both of my parents around, and, my nieces, my sister, my brother, you know, everybody helps out. They kind of see that I have one, you know, a goal in mind, and I want to be able to just take care of my kids, you know, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about anything, and I hustle, I grind, you know, try to get it done, and things are moving very quickly. I've only been doing this a little over a year, and I think I've come a long way in a year.
Okay. Now, what actually made you want to start getting into promotion, the promotional field?
Well, you know what? Everything that I'm doing is like, I guess people have seen that in me, and they kind of like put me in that direction. I'm the type of person that if you ask me to do something, I'm going to try it. You know, I'm going to try it. I'm not going to say no. I will try everything. I'm open. You know, unless it's going to get me in trouble, I'm not going to mess with it. But as far as, like, some type of work or something like that, I'm going to try everything. You know, I love the music. My cousin LES, DJ LES, is the one that actually put me in front of the camera on the radio show. You know, I was shy, very scared of the camera. You know, now I don't even notice it.
So you were shy. So you didn't throw on the dark glasses and cover your eyes or nothing like that, you know, because that's what a lot of them do when they shy. They throw on the dark glasses so they can't see the eyes and, you know, do it like that. Well, what's going on right now is, let me inform y'all, Lady V Call has dropped. So what we're going to do is we're going to get her back on. What's going on with Lady V is she's a big promoter, you know, for NYC. She's doing big things. She has a radio show as well. She has promotional business that she deals with.
Hello?
Like she said, she's a mother. Oh, there you go. Okay, I was just telling the man about... It's all right. It's all right. You know, that's the best thing about it sometimes. That's what's good about it. Because if you don't know what you're saying, then people mistake you.
But yeah, no, my cousin, really, he grabbed me. He kind of grabbed me and had me going all over the place with him to events and everything. And, you know, he's the one that kind of influenced me. He named me Lady V and everything. Unfortunately, my cousin Elias passed away in June of last year.
Wow, my condolences.
Yeah, so, you know, but I'm just trying to make him proud. You know, I know he's up in heaven smiling down on me, so...
Now, let me ask you, as far as you've been in the promotional business, right, do you feel it's more easier for a woman, or do you feel it's more harder? Considering the fact it's more men promoters out here than women.
It's very hard as a woman, very hard. I face a lot of challenges. I mean, I just had to recently, you know, cut some people because it's like, you want me to work for you, but you want me to starve, you know? So. I've cut a couple of people here, you know, even important things, you know, important people to the business, but, you know, I'm not worried about it. Things work out in the end, you know?
Exactly. Now, as far as you being a female promoter, considering the fact, like you said, you're a single mom and everything, do you think it'll be much harder for you if you was in a relationship or much easier?
It's very hard because, you know, I guess because I also do the music thing, I'm around males all the time, but that's nothing new to me. I was the only girl on my block since I was like 5 years old, so I've always been around guys all the time, you know. It's very hard. Like, for me to be with somebody, they have to be very, you know, very secure within themselves, you know. They can't be insecure, and it's very hard. I have a very hard time finding anybody, you know. Very difficult.
Now, it sounds like, you know. Now, as far as you being a promoter, right? Mm-hmm. What's the best thing you like about being a promoter, a female promoter in the industry?
I like because I'm a people person. The phone. I'm so sorry. My ear keeps touching the button. I'm a people person, so, you know, I like to be out there, you know, when we have the events and everything, you know, I go and I get to meet people, I meet, you know, like I said, the mainstream artists. My network just keeps growing and growing, you know, every event that I have or that I do or participate in, you know, the network just keeps getting stronger. It's more connections that I make, so, you know, so to me, that's a good thing. I'm always about, like, my business. Like, last night I went out for fun. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I rarely go out for fun. It's some type of business that, you know, has to go down in order for me to be out there and pubs and everything. So.
Now, the fact that you're doing so much and you're so busy, and, you know, you got a lot of people that will actually come at you considering the fact that you are a female promoter, but then you got the females that's jealous.
Mm-hmm. How did you deal with that situation?
I don't pay any mind to it. I have, I guess I would call them the blinders, even with the guys, because, you know, I have a business partner, Third Eye in New York, City Go-Getter, you know, that's my homeboy. He and I do the showcases together. He and I promote together. That's my bodyguard, too, for when I go out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my bodyguard. You know, he has my back. When something's going on, he'd be like, come on, V, it's time to go. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's a lot of stuff. A lot of people come at him, oh, why are you dealing with V's? But yet, you know, things are popping off. You know, it's just like, it's jealousy from the guys and the females, you know, but I don't pay any mind to it. I'm not here to compete against anybody. I just do me, you know. I just do my thing. I don't pay attention to what this person's doing, what that person's doing, you know. I hear things, oh, this one's having a showcase. The same, you know, like the day after every, like we have ours every fourth Friday, so this one's having theirs every fourth Saturday. Or this one's having an event the same night that we're having an event. But it doesn't matter because it's a different crowd. You know, people try to, you know, do little things like that. Like, you know, we making our little money here on this thing, but you want to try to break some, you know, mess that up, but not realizing that it's a whole different crowd. So you do your party. You do your thing, you know. We're still going to do our thing. And we're still going to rock, you know.
Okay, my phone lines are on fire. If you have any questions that you want to ask Lady V, press 1 to go on the air. If you're on your PCs, the number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the line or stay on the line to hear, stay on the line to hear the show. Okay, we have a caller for you. Somebody, hold on, Lady V, okay?
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Okay. But right now, we have one of the biggest female promoters on. It's Lady V.
That's what's up. Go ahead, Diva.
Listen.
Go ahead.
I'm hot.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good to have a female doing basically to say, well, you know, we can do all that a man can do, so it's good to hear, you know, you being a producer and having your own show. And my question is, huh?
Well, hold on for a minute, okay. Carla, because what happened was we had Lost Lady B, but I believe she just called back just now.
Okay.
You got to remind, the storm is going on, so the phone connection is going to be kind of hard right now because of the storm. But I believe we have her back right now.
Hello?
Okay, there she go now. Go ahead, continue with the question.
I'm sorry. This is a new
That's
phone,
okay.
So it's like.
I was just saying, you know, I'm happy to hear a female producer as well, you know, being interviewed. But my question to you, being a producer and
promoter.
Having your show.
She's a promoter.
Having your own show.
I did produce one song for my artist in Florida. I have done that.
Oh, okay.
See? But my question to you, by being a promoter and having your own show, where do you see yourself in about 5 years?
I would love to be on, like, Hot 97 or 105.1, you know, one of the FM radio stations. I love radio.
Okay.
I really do love it. Like, that's my heart. So I really hope, like, that I could be, like, even on TV or something, you know, doing my, I picture myself, like, doing a hip-hop section, you know, session on GMA every morning.
Uh-huh.
Like reporting
but
the hip-hop
what,
news or something like
but
that.
But
you
know what, Lady B? If that's what you want to do, you can make it happen. You know that, right?
Yes.
You can
yes.
make it happen.
Because,
I mean, because I can hear you just, you know, you got that go get it. You know, I want it, I'm going to get it. But
yes.
By all means necessary. That's
exactly.
Listen, that's what us females do, Rich Money.
Yes.
Oh.
You know what?
I definitely want to just tell you, you know, keep up the good work. Always
thank
keep
you.
The man up above first, which I know you do.
Yes, I do.
And
guys, every
you know,
move that I make.
I know that's right. And I will look for you on Facebook. And I will be a supporter any way
okay.
I can.
I appreciate it. I really
no
appreciate
problem.
It.
And you take care.
Okay, God bless. And thank you.
You too.
Now, not other than the fact that you got the promotional division on, you also have a radio show.
Yeah.
You said from 7 to 10. Now, you do want to promote, so what made you decide to start doing the radio?
Well, that's what my cousin is a DJ, and it's an internet radio show, but it's in front of the cameras, live feed. So, you know, everybody can interact. They have a chat room. You can watch us acting a fool in front of the camera and everything. And, you know, I used to go hang out with my cousin and both of my cousins, my cousin JoJo and my cousin DJ LES. And one day he's like, V, get in front of the camera, you know. So sat at the table and here it is, exactly a year later. That's what I've been doing, you know.
Okay.
And I love it. I love it. I really do. I took over, like, the business manager. I run the business for our show now. Our show is, like, booked up until the end of April. You know, I stay on top of that, promoting it. They want me to start helping promote for the radio, you know, the actual station and everything. So, you know.
Now you got the radio station. You got the promotion. Now you're dealing with the music. So now,
mm-hmm.
when you're dealing with the music, do you have the fact that you have artists that you're dealing with as well?
But I just recently became the publicist for a limited edition swag. His name is LES from 730 Dips. Just this week, just a few days ago. So, you know, we're working things out and trying to get him set up, get him promoted and everything. And I've always, I mean, my little cousin reminded me today that the music, the hip-hop has always been something. It's just some, you know, a very big part of my, you know, part of my life, but I put it to the side because I had, you know, family and I was married and everything. And, like, 2 years ago, I picked it back up and just started doing it again, you know. It's always something, you know, it's always been a part of me. Last February, me and my ex-boyfriend worked on a beat together, and I have an artist that I manage out of Florida. He's self-sufficient himself, but, you know, we're trying to get him up here to New York, trying to get, you know, my connections built up and everything so we can bring him up here and do some work. But we made a beat for him, and he made a song called High Hater, Bye Hater on SoundCloud, on my SoundCloud and everything. And, I mean, that's the other thing. I have my friends. I go to the studio, and now they're taking my. I don't know how to use the software. You know, like the
okay.
And all that stuff. I really don't know how to use it, so I'm telling them what beats to sample and everything. You know, so working like that. That's how we're working on the beats and stuff now. And I'm also doing a mixtape. It's just Long Island artists right now that I'm trying to push. And I'm in the middle of right now getting all the tracks together, all the different artists and everything. So I've been going to a couple of studios here and there, reaching out to people that I know. Like, everybody on Long Island knows me for working with the hip-hop community out here. So.
Okay. Now, out of all the three that you're doing, which one do you feel, out of everything that you're doing, the promotional, the radio show, and the music, which one do you feel that your heart is really into, that you feel like I'm putting you on the spot right now, right?
I just had this conversation with one of the promoters from out here the other day. I told him I really don't want to get tied into just being a promoter. You know, people say, like you say, how everybody's like, oh, you're like one of the biggest promoters, you know, along. I'm just me, you know. I don't feel like I'm one of the biggest promoters or anything like that. I really don't, you know, it's not comfortable for me to take that title or anything like that, you know. I just do what I do, you know. The music is the thing that's, like, most dearest to my heart, which, of course, it ties into the radio, so both the music and the radio, you know.
Okay. So the main thing is the music and the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, considering the fact of everything that you're doing, you know, what if it comes down to the point where you're getting involved with somebody? How are you still going to balance all that out? Because you have to spend time with your family as well. So as you being a female promoter, not trying to sound double standard or anything like that, but like you said, it's more harder for a female. How would you conduct yourself into that prospect?
Well, I feel like that is my, listen, I have there's an open invitation. You want to ride with me and come with me here and there and everything, it's not a problem. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to hide anybody from any, you know, from anyone. Let's go do this, you know. If I have an event tonight, come with me to the event, you know. If I have to go to the studio, come with me to the studio. You know, I make time. It's not a problem. I make time. My kids go to sleep at a certain time. It's not, you know, it's not like I can't, you know, go out or whatever, you know.
Now, okay, like you said,
I'm a multitasker, big time.
Oh, okay, so you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now, when you look in the mirror, is that what you see, an entrepreneur?
Again?
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see an Andre Pinot or you just see Vanetta Lady V?
I just see Vanetta when I look in the mirror. When I'm going out, when I'm, you know, my dresses and stuff like that, that's why I see Lady V. You know, when I'm on going to the radio show, I see Lady V, you know, but
okay.
I'm me, you know. I'm just me. I don't feel like. I mean, people say like the other day, somebody's like, everybody knows you on Long Island. I'm like, there's a lot of stuff that I really don't. I don't realize. You know what I mean? Still a lot of stuff that I don't realize about all of this, and it's just weird to me. It's weird.
Okay, now, you do a lot of events in Long Island. Do you plan on, like, going to the Bronx and Midtown or any place like that to promote any events?
Oh, I do. I've promoted Perfection. I promoted Perfection out in Queens. We're bringing top mics out here. That's the other thing, the showcases. Like I said, every fourth Friday to do showcases out at the pub in Patchogue out here. March 9th, I'm having a battle for Long Island where I have to get 8 artists together. We're going to choose 8 artists, and we're going to go to New York City to do a song-for-song battle with some Manhattan artists, or, you know, New York City artists. It's going to be like a New York City versus Long Island type of thing. And after that, the Top Mics Tour is going to be out here, and I'll be, you know, running the Top Mics Tour out here on Long Island.
Okay. Now, considering the fact you did, you know, prevention certain areas, which one would you say you feel like, okay, this is where it's really happening at? You understand what I mean?
Saying, like, which events that I promote?
Yes. Out of all your events you did, which event could you say that, okay, this is where this event is really happening at? Let's say, for instance, the Barrington in Queens, BB King's in Manhattan. You understand what I mean? The Tavern in the Bronx, you know, like you know.
It used to be Barrington's, but, you know, people started acting silly out here, so, you know, that kind of got shut down, you know. So I'm kind of falling back. I've been really focusing on the showcases. I get more satisfaction out of that, you know. It's just really crazy, the energy, the vibe is just so, It's just all positivity, you know, and everybody's there on their business. You know, so there's nobody there that's being foolish, you know, wanting a fight or anything like that. You know, we're there for a reason. So the atmosphere and the body, it's just crazy. The energy is just crazy. I love doing the showcases. It's right.
Okay.
That's,
oh, okay.
That's my heart now, you know.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say you have an event and you have a DJ coming in, right? And the DJ get there and they find out the event's been canceled. Do that DJ still get paid for that event? Is the promoter that still have to pay for that event? Or do they just take it as a loss?
If he comes, it depends on what you agree upon. What's in that contract? You know, do you give him a deposit? You know, depends on what's agreed upon. If you agreed upon it ahead of time that yes, he gets paid for that night, then yeah. I mean, if it's somebody that's flying in or something like that, you know, of course. But if it's somebody like that's local, you know, maybe it's a different story. You know, maybe they don't, you know, depends. It just depends on what's in the contract.
So it makes no difference whether that DJ get paid. Now, another question I want to ask you is, you know, it comes a certain length to the fact of a person trusting somebody. Yes, trusting somebody. Now, you get to the point where you got to give that money that you spent, you have to give some people tickets to sell for you. Yes, for your promotional event. You got the tickets. You got to give that to, you know, if you have a team, give to the team. If you don't have a team, you got to build up a team. You understand? To get them those tickets to sell for you. How do you form that trust with people to get them those tickets to sell for you?
Well, they should be paying for their tickets up front.
Uh-huh. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
If you're giving somebody tickets to sell, like for instance, like if you have some people like the showcases, they have them pay and then they give them a certain amount of tickets. Let's say like if they charge them $100 to perform and then they give them 10 tickets or $10 a piece. That's on them to sell those tickets.
Yes, but how do you trust those people that you give those tickets to?
Well, they're already paying for it ahead of time, so...
No, okay. So what I'm stating is, if I'm on your team, and you want me to sell tickets for you, you understand? You want me to sell, let's say you give me 20 tickets, and you say, here's 20 tickets, sell these 20 tickets, they're $20 a piece. Out of the $20, you know, you take out 5 and bring me back to 15. How do you trust those people to sell those tickets?
You have to. That's a part of the business.
So it's like if you take
a
loss,
you just... You get the right people on your team. You don't just, you know... With me, it's very hard. Even with Third Eye, it took me a long time to work with him. You know, I learned early on in the game. From another promoter. I call him a janky promoter, and I'm going to put his name out there because he was trying to dirty my name. His name is Shag, okay? Did me really dirty for the Thanksgiving Eve party that they had at Barrington. And the day before, you know, he had me thinking, you know, that I was going to, you know, be running everything in the club, but the day before, he tells me to stay at the front and make sure that the money is right at the cash register, not telling me that I was the event coordinator until the day after the event, which is a big difference in, number one, how much he had to pay me, because he had me thinking that I was just working as a promoter. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, and there was one issue with some money, like $125 was missing or something like that. So I got upset with him because guys paid him a lot of money to perform for K-Slay, and they didn't get on to perform until 4 a.m. This is my other part. You know, I'm not just a promoter. I also deal with these people on a personal level. I deal with them with the radio show and everything. You're dirtying my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I left. I left before he even did that. I was done with him at that point. And whatever went wrong, he tried to blame me after the fact, you know? So I understood I can't trust every promoter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can't trust everybody. I have to be careful with who I deal with. So it doesn't, it's not very easy for people, you know, a lot of people want to work with me, but it's not very easy for me to just bring you into my circle. You know, right
that,
now it's
that's
just
what
pretty
I mean.
Much... Yeah, it's just pretty much me and Third Eye, and that's it, you know?
And that's what I mean. How do you build up that trust? Because sometimes you have to take a chance here and there. You understand?
Yeah, you do.
How do you build up that trust to be like, okay, I have to trust this person to sell these tickets for me? What
you
makes me want
to
build
faith.
Up the trust to sell? Huh?
You have to have faith. You just have to have faith. You know, you don't have to put that faith in people, but you put your faith in God, you know, that he's going to bring the right people to you. At least that's how I do it, you know. Like I said, even though I went through that experience, I came out untarnished, but I learned very early, you know. I learned very early about people and about certain promoters and everything. So luckily,
because
I haven't had any more bad experiences. Thank God,
exactly.
Knock on wood.
Exactly.
You know, but
exactly.
I'm just glad that I got that out of the way early.
Now,
you know?
I want to talk about this event you got coming up now. You have an event coming up, right?
Yeah, I have on the 22nd. I have the showcase. It's the second showcase of the year.
Okay.
And then also Waka Flocka on BB King's on February 21st. I'm promoting that event also.
Okay, now this is a question that you feel if you want to answer, you don't have to answer. If you want to, you can. How do a promoter get events like that? Like, what's the route they take to where, okay, I got Waka Flocka coming to this event. This is how we're going to work this out.
You have to have the money for it. Basically, the money to book that artist. And to get the venue, you know. I don't know. I'm helping somebody else out.
Mhm.
So it's not exactly my event. I mean, I have tickets and all that and everything, but it's not like I had to put any money out for that event. The showcases, that's something different. That's just like I said, that's just Third Eye and myself. The Waka Flocka thing, that's Glover's. I call him Glover. That's his, you know, his little thing.
Okay.
I work with like Mike Green. I work with Anthony Glover. That's pretty much it, you know. And then, like I said, Third Eye and I, you know, we do the showcases. And then my Top Mike will be coming in starting in April.
Okay, now, do you feel this is something you can make a career out of?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And what gives you that feeling to be like, okay, well, I'm a promoter, I can make a career out of this, but you do have promoters where all showcases don't be what they expected, where some promoters, at one point, they feel capacity, and then at the next point, it's like, okay, what happened here?
You have to keep it interesting. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. You got to be supportive. You know, you got to make sure you go out and support other people too. You can't just have your showcase and not network with other people. You know, like I even reach out to people in the city, you know, stuff like that. I have people coming from out, you know, people hitting me up from out of the state, from Chicago, stuff like that. They want to come participate in the showcase. That's why I'm bringing, you know, I want to bring Top Mike out, because Top Mike is nationwide. So they have people that come from different states just to do these showcases. You know, you gotta keep it going. You know, you gotta make it better and better each time. You know, we give out a cash prize. We actually hand the money to the person right then and there. When the winner gets announced, they get that cash right there. You know.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way I feel about it. I mean, that fourth Friday is gonna always be there, and then the top mics, like I said, I mean, that's a whole different ball game. That's something else. They can go on tours. There's a magazine. All that, you know, it's a lot more than just having a showcase. You know.
Okay. Okay, yeah. We have another call on the line for you. We're gonna bring them on real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here definitely. What's up?
What's going on?
Hello.
You have promoter Lady D on the line.
How you doing, woman?
Hi, who's this?
It's International Twin.
Hi, Twin. This
is my
mixed bully family. This is the Dower Hour host.
Okay.
Shout out to you and everybody else. Definitely Lady D, you do your thing. I ain't gonna hold you down. I ain't gonna hold nobody up. She do her thing.
Thanks.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah, I had a quick question for you, though, Lady V.
Okay.
You know, for all the upcoming artists and stuff like that, I mean, I just want to give them a word of advice to encourage me to keep them going and stuff like that.
All I can say is one thing that just drives me crazy, because I see people who are talented. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Okay. Don't just sit in your house and make music.
Yes.
Don't sit there and have a catalog of 500 songs on your computer. You got to get out. You got to get out there. You got to make your presence known. Get out there and meet people. You never know who you're going to meet. You see how I move, Twin.
You already know.
This is why I do what I do, because it's why I know so many people, because I don't just sit. You know what I'm saying? I'm out and about. I'm meeting everybody, making my network bigger and bigger and bigger. That's
okay,
what you
definitely.
Have to do. You never know who could, you know, reach their hand out to you and pull you up a little bit more, you know, to that right person, that right A&R, that right label. You never know, you know, so don't just...
Definitely.
Sit in the house. It drives me crazy when I see talented people just sitting in the house making music or sitting in the studio, and you never see them nowhere where they
not getting out. Yep, where they need
exactly.
to be, where everybody at. That's right.
Exactly.
You know, V. I thank you for your support and all that and everything else. You know, keep doing your thing.
Thank you. I try. I try.
You know, February 22nd, we in the building.
Okay. Most
definitely.
Thanks for calling in.
You already know.
All right, shout out to that
Dower Hour. Okay, Miss Lady V, we actually have another segment going on with comedian Hassan Baby Boy Oliver. Well, I want to thank you, but what I want you to do is I want you to give everybody all your information.
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at LadyB_LI, on the Instagram at LadyBBossLady. Let's see, Facebook, Vonetta, VONETTA, LadyBLI, Clark. And I'm on MixBully.com. The name of the show is Spin Off Tuesdays, every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's an underground hip-hop show. Get in that chat room every Tuesday. Talk with us, you know, listen to some music. We always do like a Latin, because we're from out here on Long Island. We're from Brentwood. There's a lot of Latin, you know, the Latin community is heavy out here. So we always do a Latin segment like the first hour, and then we roll into the hip-hop where, you know, I interview these, like I had Riot Squad, I had Dino from Riot Squad on there. We had a problem with the wire last week. So this coming Tuesday, we're going to have Ill Al Scratch on there, interviewing them by phone.
But, you know, a lot of stuff, popping over there. I'm trying to, you know, like I said, I took over the business part, so I'm trying to make things happen over there.
Okay, okay. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Shout-out to Nick's Bully, to the team at Nick's Bully. Shout-out to my spinoff team, DJ Faithful, Negrito. Shout-out to my business partner, Third Eye. Shout-out to the Dower Hour, my family, my children, the little Will, Rashad, Khalid, Yvonne, and Emil. Yes, I have 5 kids. I want to thank my mother for all the support that she gives me, you know. Shout out to Long Island, of course. Shout out to all the hip hop artists out there. We're about to make it happen this year, I'm telling you. Make sure you hit me up. Get into the mixtape. I want everybody on that mixtape. You got some fire out there, hit me up, send it to me, and we're going to get it popping. Shout out to all my DJs. Y'all know what it is.
Wow. And, you know, I want to thank you, Miss Barnett. I'm going to call you Lady V. I like Lady V.
That's what everybody calls me, Lady V.
Lady V. You know, it's been an
honor
having you.
Barnett is the government. Barnett is the government.
Okay, so we're going to go, with Lady V. You know,
yes.
And you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for coming on. It definitely was an honor having you on.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. I had a good time. I really appreciate this.
All right.
Okay, you guys have a good night.
You too.
All right, thank you.
Female promoter, Lady V, Dons and Divas. Okay, coming up next, our special guest appearance, comedian Hassan Baby Boy Oliver is in the building. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Straight racking it, the girls say, man, like they double racking shit. Damn, I'm so expensive. city, but I can't help it. My flow ridiculous. Boy, got a gift like it gotta be Christmas. Boy, go miss like it gotta be gifted. The girls roll the cameras, and they won't fix it, and they gon' pray me to see that. Let them live the bed while I'm saying my scriptures. Cause I leave you holy like you pray in the temple. One beat, I move with the letter of a pencil. And mine won't miss you, good night kiss you. Take a damn back, cause you got pistols. And now I'm saying, Donnie, pick her up, these issues.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to GQ Palace Radio. And with me right now, I have comedian Hassan Baby Boy Oliver.
Hey, what's going on? You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. What's going on, Hassan? What's going on?
Oh, man, I'm trying to dodge this snow down here in Jersey, man. But I'm still working, though. I'm still on the computer working.
Oh, I want to tell you, it's an honor having you on as well. You know, I appreciate the time, considering the fact this storm has just got a lot of people, like, torn apart right now. We're in emergency watch right now.
Yeah, man, we just, Sandy done came through. She was on her period. She tore the whole country up. Now we got to deal with this right here.
Exactly.
Need I'm all like, these wow. trucks to get it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Where y'all from right now? Sometime. Where y'all live from?
The Bronx.
Oh, y'all in the boogie down Bronx, all right?
We in the Bronx, yeah.
I was in the Bronx last week on Boston Road at Expressions, the little reggae spot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not too far from here.
Yeah, Robert Cruz be hanging out over there. We did comedy
there,
man.
Yeah,
you man, make the West
dude.
Indians laugh, man. You got to be funny. they don't find everything too funny. You got to be funny.
Yeah, yo. Now, speaking like you said, you got to be funny. Now, let's get into the fact of how do you deal with hecklers?
How do I handle hecklers?
Yeah.
I do. The rule is, if you want to pick on somebody, you got to know how to handle them, because a heckler could be the ones that'll make you look bad one night.
Mm-hmm.
But a heckler, you got to destroy it from the rip. You can't let them get nothing off. Because if you do, it might be funny than what you're going to say. So you just got to hit them hard. Whatever comes to your mind as a comic, to shut them up. And that's it.
Wow.
Because if you go back and forth, you're really taking away from the crowd. The crowd need to know, can you shut them up from the rip? That's how you handle a heckler.
Okay, but what if it's coming down to the point they're getting the best of you?
Huh? Oh, if you're getting the best of you, see, that's the comedian's secret right there. Talent told me that. He told me how you do it. Because they get the best of you, you just got to know how to maneuver it and take the attention off of you. that's
you know,
the secret right there. Talent always told me, don't tell nobody else this. You know how talent talk. Hey, look, baby, don't tell nobody I told you this. You got to do this.
Exactly, because, you know... We don't have, you know, Sean Harvey on. We have Wallace St. Clair on and everything. And,
okay.
You know, I'm like, yo, how do y'all deal with them? You know, it's like they trying to come at you to sabotage your show.
Because everybody, you know, when people come to you think they're funny. You got somebody in your face that may think they're funnier than you, but on that stage is a different world. So they're going to challenge you. And by you letting them know, I do this for real. You got to hit them where they unexpectedly don't think you're going to say. If somebody with his girl, go after his girl first, then get him. He going to want to leave because
wow.
he's embarrassed. Wow. You got to destroy. Like you're in the army. You got to get him out of there. Do it in a respect. You know, if you're going to do it, you can do it in a respective way or you can do it your way.
Mm. Now, but, how long have you actually been doing that? Go ahead, finish.
Nah, girl, I'm listening.
How long have you actually been doing a comedian stand-up?
I've been doing comedy since I came in the game like around 06, 07. So I'm kind of, I'm the new cat, but my work ethic is like phenomenal. Any guy can tell you that been around as far as veterans. Any comedian come to Jersey, there's only a handful of us. We got rooms. You know how to, and you got rooms once a week. I've been holding it down for the last 5 or 6 years. And got the movie things popping. So my time, I've been doing comedy for 6 or 7 years and consistent from the rip. I've been in the game for 6 years.
Wow, okay. Now, what's the average length time for a stand-up comedy? What's the average length time? Like, how long do you actually get to, you know, go out on that stage and be like, okay, this is how much time I got to make these people laugh?
To me, my a lot of comedians seem to find their lane in comedy because everybody be funny. I'm going to be a host. You got Martin Lawrence, you got all those successful comedians. When you're a host, you have range. So I can be on stage bringing the show on and off, but the most I ever been on stage alone is probably about 35 minutes straight because Joe Torre was late to a show and I was the opener. So that really got my name out there. Like, yo, that cat that went first, funny. So I mostly host events. I host, like, you know, fashion shows. I even host a one day. I host any damn day. I have baby showers, the baby there. parole parties, catches came on for parole. You know, I host anything.
Yeah, have a call on the line. We're gonna bring you up real fast.
Yo, you gotta love it. You gotta really love what you do to do this stuff, man. No cursing on air, right? No cursing, right?
I mean, it's so much more because I have all types of listeners right now, you know. So it's all good, you know. You're a comedian, so we expect it. We have a call on the line for you, so we're gonna bring that call in. Hello, caller. You know?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm already laughing. I know you ain't even started yet, but
be ready to hold. If somebody want comedy, I'll come on your lawn with my North Face and do about 2 minutes for you. I will nicely send a hat through the window to get me. Mother Nature needs comedy too.
Exactly. Just lying.
Listen, this, you had me cracking up about Sandy.
Deception need comedy because we can't hear each other. And that ain't the weather. That's the latest. What you calling for, sweetie?
I'm in Jersey, too.
Oh, all right. See, she already knows. She's Jersey. I'm in Union. A little hike away from North.
Oh,
you crackheads out there still in snow.
They're still in snow.
But see, look, people forget that when we was upcoming, our mothers made us snow cream, carnation milk, and sugar. I'm in my fifth one.
He ain't telling no lies. Oh, so that's what they out there doing and making snow cones and everything, right? Putting a little flavoring on it. Hey, no, he didn't say the cracker's still in the snow.
The lady next door to us, her lawn, you can't even see the snow, the lawn there. Oh, man. Well, see, the Bronx, see, they live in the Bronx. I know them rats up there pissed.
Oh, yeah. They lied about that.
See, those rats, they got rats in the Bronx catching cats. Now you know y'all got rats in the Bronx.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We got some big joints
on, too.
We got some real big joints out here.
And they proud.
They look at you and walk by.
I hope they probably voted. That's why we got Barack. They wrote through. Man. Yeah, like I was saying, I don't even talk comedy for 6-7 years.
Wow. Who you been doing it 6 to 7 years?
Yeah, 6-7 years.
Oh, wow. What made you start? Just
clowning around?
You know what? Growing up in North, my family, you around people who coming out of the 80s getting high, drinking, but spitting big women was in. So my mother, she was big. She raised us. Everything is funny. So it's pretty much what you see in life coming up. I just got to get to take it to human, talk about it. And I stayed back, so that was cool.
So you planning on doing this? Like, is this your job, or you have a 9-to-5?
Oh, this, I ain't worked a regular job for 4 years. This is what it is. I got my own business. The income tax has been good every year, so I'm surviving.
I heard that. Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
It's investments, though. I went to, film school, took acting classes, vocal classes. I don't know if a lot of comedians do it, but I've been hanging around, like, the big dogs, Kevin Hart, Bill Bellamy from Jersey.
Oh, my God. Kevin Hart.
Yeah, when you surround yourself around guys who really went through a lot and made it to where they at, they always give you information and advice how to stay focused and stay humble, and you'll get your chance.
What was it like working with Kevin Hart?
If Kevin Hart was a caller right now, he'd be having y'all laughing the same way as me.
He's a fool.
He's naturally funny. He's funny because of what he's been through, like his father. That's true. His father couldn't step a certain length on the porch. That's true. You got a lot of comedians who are not even as successful as Kevin and Bill Belly, you know, to act like they've arrived somewhere. So you got to ground yourself all the time and just take every chance. Like right now, just being live on the radio, I don't really know who I'm talking to, but I'm happy. You could be my caseworker. Somebody claimed me on their taxes.
Hold on for a minute.
We have another caller. We're going to bring them in.
I got two calls. Okay, that's cool.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have comedian Sean David Oliver. Now, you have people on the line, but what we need you to do is to press 1. So my line is on fire. If you want to join in, for comedian Hassan Baby Boy Oliver, press 1 to go on the air. If you're on your PC, remember to dial 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. I'll stay on the line here. So go ahead.
What happened?
I said, I'm so mad at the fact that you said that you feel happy because you have a caller, but the caller could be the caseworker.
I'm trying to hear it. I can't get it clear.
Something about a caller from Facebook.
I didn't say no.
I did not say no.
She said caseworker.
I say caseworker.
Oh, caseworker?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a caseworker. Okay, cool. I'm too old for you to take my case. But you are a caseworker. Basically, no plan. You know what? I was adopted, and this day I kept in touch with my caseworker.
Oh.
No.
We should all start playing spades.
I'm good at that game. I'm good.
Now,
how
do you come up with your acts? Is it something that you base on reality, or you just sit down and think about something to actually make you come up with your performances in a comedian's stand?
Like my routines and my jokes?
Yeah.
You know what? Comedians, you got comics and you got comedians. Is the difference is comics. Comics pretty much called veterans. They've been around 10 years or whatever. Comedians are like news anchors. We got to research everything to make sure that jokes stick. Before I say it, I have to make sure that it's something people can relate to it. So it's some research before you talk about a joke. It ain't just... you could be naturally funny, but if you gonna laugh, you can have a sense of urgency. Like, I know somebody who's going through that situation. Like, people real messed up. they're not in a recession, they're in recreation. Like, it's a natural gift, but you make sure if you really love it, you got to make sure you're on point with it.
So, you could have
called instead of me, and it'd have been funny.
So you don't think a comic comedian is something for everybody? If you make a person laugh, you got to make them laugh more than once, and then you feel like, okay, well, all right, you saw one little joke, you know, all right, it was funny. Let's see what else you got.
Well, when you like, you could be, if I'm hosting, my job is to, just like you got to get the crowd ready, loosen them up. But when you're doing a set of jokes, you don't want to come all the way with, if I got 10 minutes, you at least seven and a half, 8 minutes out of the funniest. I got to talk to you first, educate you, then just start going crazy with the jokes. It start flowing. It's like when you start drinking, you saw it. Give me a little pilot, man. Do 20 minutes up there on somebody's boot. Hey, don't forget, our parents are funny, too. I got most of my comedy from my mom. She off the chains.
Wow. So what's the best thing you like about being a comedian?
You said, what's it like?
Yeah, what's the best thing you like about being a comedian?
For one, I don't like working for nobody. Self. And I just, you know what? Up there telling jokes and make people laugh. That's the best feeling in the world. I don't know what people do with themselves, but it's a great feeling. It's like you go to church and the preacher's talking about something. You're like, damn, it sounds like he talking about my problems. You ever been in church and you be like, damn, my cardinal, my rent, and you be like, damn. Well, telling jokes as a comic, when somebody laughs, that means you touch with their inner feelings. Especially a guy just came home from jail, ain't got no social skills. You got this guy. your deed of the day is good. It's fun.
Wow.
It's got its downs, but you know what? It gets better the more you do it. You get your business right with it, and it gets easier.
Okay, when you mentioned being in church and you know, mentioning your car note and stuff like that, I thought you was gonna say, you know, you got your car note, you got your bills, and the preacher still wants 10%.
You know what?
That's funny. That's a good one right
so
there.
So when they pass that plate around, you know, when you think you see yourself on the bills you gotta pay, but you got left, you're gonna pass the good one, that 10%.
She's correct. I went to church on New Year's for the first time. That guy didn't preach until that plate went around. They made you stand up and turn. They made you stand and walk around to make sure you wasn't dodging. Then he preached. I said, this is all the same stuff. He wanted his deposit first. The Lord needs his deposit right now. And I had a five in my hand. I kept asking people, you got change? I need to be in this.
See, that's why you walk up in there with singles. See,
now I know.
Yeah, you don't.
And they don't take checks either. And the usher's about 90, so they gonna take an hour for you to get up to the minute. Like they was all the Harry Potter. Oh man.
I know you made jokes about Sandy, didn't you?
Oh, man, look, between me and the host, I'd have met Sandy was the best way to find out the women who give head the best. They need gas. And if you went and got gas, he was tightened up. That's all I got to say.
Now, let me ask you, have you ever came to a point where you was like cracking on somebody and they got mad and was like really distraught by it?
Oh man, I done chased out the club They waited for me when I act like I'm a meeting. I had to look like I was really scared. Yeah, you got to threaten you. I showed up the bathroom and calmed down and came back.
So how do you actually deal with a situation like that?
You got to make sure you got some goons in the house for once. You got to have street friends. If I'm doing a room in Brooklyn or the Bronx, I got to know somebody who's at that show. Because cats get out of line, and females can't take jokes either. They get weird, they get at you.
Wow.
That's when you that moment.
So in a way, it's like it's a funny job, but then it's a dangerous one in a situation.
It's like, remember I said in the beginning, it's how you handle it when you heckle somebody. You can get to their skin, but you can get real disrespectful. So if you know that type of person really seem like they really get taken it personal, then you got to be professional. They back off on them. But if it's too late, it's on you. Have some drinks,
wow.
Give them some DVDs, something.
To calm them down.
Yeah, you got to do something. Get them on the island. That's calm every people. Right now.
Wow.
But I seem to laugh my way out of a lot of situations.
I mean, like you know, like for instance, is it like a fact where you do comedy everywhere? Because one time we had Wallace St. Clair on, and he was doing a show in a restaurant and had people laughing. So if it comes to a fact of you like doing a show in certain areas, do you just do your comedian comedy stand up like anywhere, or is like okay, whenever it just comes to you, you just do it?
Nah, you talking about? Do I travel or do I got a certain routine?
Yeah, like a certain routine. Let's say you're in a restaurant or whatever, and
yeah.
You just see something funny. You just start going in and, like, you just keep going in and going in. Is that, like, a normal thing for a comedian? Or is it, like,
you ask
like
me, I see what you're saying. Like, some people may say, oh, you're a comedian. Tell me something funny. A real professional that holds themselves professional is going to come natural. I'm not going to sit there and tell you a joke for one. For one, I'm not working. I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
And once I start telling the jokes, you might get upset because I'm going to aim right at you. Because I'm going to come on your radio station and say, host this for me. No. If I see something funny, it'll come out natural. It'll look like, yo, that guy's funny. That's how most natural comics, because that's what we do to get paid, but we love it. I'm going to have to get first.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing for free.
Now, in your own words, what is a stand-up comedian?
Say it again. Broke up a little bit.
In your own words, you know, you got a stand-up. What is the meaning of a stand-up comedian?
A stand-up comedian is stand-up is basically you're standing up. You could be in a wheelchair, you're still considered a stand-up comedian. Actually getting up there, and it's not open mic, you're getting up there standing up telling jokes for 5 to 10 minutes. Like jokes that you can't really make up. It has to be something relevant that you've been through in your life that you want to tell the world about. That's really stand-up comedy. In my words, you can fabricate 20% of it, 80% of it has to be something that you lived or your friend lived and you're trying to get somebody else to relate to. That's stand-up.
So have it ever came to a point where you were doing your event and you just got stuck? What does a comedian do at that point when they just get stuck and they be like, well, what else am I going to say now? I've said everything already.
I did a show with Cypher Sound, Carla, and I was doing good. I got so excited. I paused and was looking at me and laughed. They didn't know why I paused. I lost my joke. And then I just like, y'all, sorry, I farted. And then it worked. When they laughed, and by the time they finished, the joke came back. You can get stuck. You just have to be ready to improv off that real quick. You got to be ready to improv. Your improv skills got to be on point.
Wow.
Ooh-wee.
So
now let me ask you, considering the fact that you're a comedian, of course you got to go to a lot of spots, you know, because comedians is very busy, you understand?
Yeah.
Now, do you feel that's something for somebody that's in a relationship? Considering the fact, you know, some people might take that point to the point where, okay, you're always cracking jokes. You understand? Do you feel a comedian something where you could have a relationship involved with somebody, considering the fact that you're traveling so much as well?
Actually, right now, I can have a girlfriend. So, it's not put like this. A lot of comedians probably, that's just their business, won't put it out there. But you can't do this by yourself. You can't. You can't be an entertainer without a strong, whatever your choice of your sex may be, man or female. You got to have somebody behind you. Now, half the time, just because you got that person in your life, things could be a little easier. Because if not, comedy is hard, but it'd be harder. You can't make all the decisions on your own, because somebody who's looking from the outside could give you that advice and that they care about you. So you could be in a relationship. A lot of guys are married doing comedy. Hello?
Yeah, you can hear me now?
Yeah, yeah. You hear what I said, or you ain't hear nothing?
Yeah, yeah, I heard everything you said.
Without me telling.
But the two of you. Now, who would you say is actually one of your best comedians?
My best comedians is Eddie and Jamie Foxx. I'm more like a Jamie Foxx because he's an entertainer. I consider myself as an entertainer, comedian, actor. I'm one of those cats that's going to entertain for you for comedy. So Eddie Murphy and Jamie Foxx is like number one, my number two.
Ooh.
I mean, I respect Kevin Hart. I mean, I'm proud of him, and I really, he's funny. He's got funny, but he's like in my era, we almost around the same age, but an idol is like Jamie Foxx and Eddie Murphy type.
Wow.
Because Jamie paved the way of being, you know, singing and acting, and then he got his Oscar. I'm glad I took my acting class early. You know, we all know Jamie wasn't a sex appeal in Living Color, so.
Oh, no, especially with Wanda.
Yeah, like, he kept pushing and believed, and, you know what I'm saying, look what happened. Like, Jamie and Eddie, I met both of them, so it was a good look. Just being at the right place at the right time, not performing, just trying to hang out and see the stars come out. You just got to be at the places. Like the female was up here, she said you got to be out and about. You just never know.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
Exactly. Well, you know what?
What's she still laughing about? I hear her.
So, I don't know what she's laughing about.
Oh, my God.
That's your people from Jersey.
From Jersey? Snow cream.
It's your people from Jersey doing that.
Where
are
you from?
Uh-huh. I'm in Asbury Park,
New Jersey.
Huh?
I'm in Asbury Park.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to be in Asbury this Sunday.
Are you serious?
Uh-oh. Yeah, at the Soul Cafe with the kid Nairobi. I'm performing this Sunday there.
Oh, the maybe you can make it there.
Yeah,
that's right by the water. Asbury different. They got his little hood part, the white, and he got his white section. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
You got grown men riding beach bikes. It's like
exactly.
Up there. The street got the water and the houses.
Wait a minute. You know you got the section for the gays, too.
Oh, man.
They own everything down here.
Oh, God. Ask
and you said
call.
It's going to be at the Soul Cafe?
Yeah, I'm be at the. I have flyers on my Facebook page, but I like people to go to my website, which is comedianbabyboy.com. You'll find everything from there. I'll be in Asbury.
Okay. I'm going to be looking for you.
We can make some snow cream. We can have fun.
What time?
Showtime is about 7. I go on like 8:15.
Okay, so what I'm supposed to do, just stand up in the middle of the place and say I was the one messing with you on GQ Palace?
Yeah, stand up. And then I'm going to keep about 10 minutes on your ass, too.
I know.
You go ahead and do that like I owe you some money. I'm at child support. I was on the radio with you. You are not the fuck. No, I'm pretty sure.
You'll
right
never
now,
clown
no,
on me.
I,
you, huh? You'll never clown on me.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Well, Sean, yeah, we running out of time. We
okay.
All kind of now. But I want to thank you for joining us.
Your last guest took up 15 of my minutes. I was listening. Out of time. And next time she call up, you tell her, look, you got 2 minutes left. Not this time we used to be here. But Ann, listen, like, you know what? He said 8:15. This child talking about school and Sandy. You running out of time.
Let everybody know about the events you got coming up. Let them know where, how they can reach you and anything like that. And get tickets and all your events. Let them know.
Okay, you can find, keep it simple. I'm not going to talk about nobody who was out 20 years ago. You can find everything on comedian84.com. I got 2 movies coming out in theaters in April. It's called Living With No Regrets. If y'all inbox me, I'll send y'all the link. And then I'm about to start this college tour, man. And I'm about to hit the road, L.A., in April.
All right. Yo, Sean,
and shout out to
Ashley
Park listening, and shout out to y'all for letting me be on the show.
No doubt. You're welcome back. Anytime.
All right. You owe me 15 minutes. Y'all take care. No, God bless.
No doubt.
I'll see you Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Comedian Hassan Baby Boy Oliver, Dodger Diva. Wow. What a show. I want to thank y'all all for tuning in tonight. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank the callers. I want to thank the listeners. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. I have to give a great big happy birthday shout out to my mother-in-law, Ethel LeMay. Happy birthday. I didn't speak to her today, so I want to wish you a very happy birthday. Many, many more, and I love you. It's going down tonight. Don't forget, at the new Ebony Lounge at 921 East 163rd Street. Don't forget, Uncle Swizz, we also have something going on at the Tavern on 138th Street, February 12th. Don't forget about My Swagger Is Crazy. His event is going down March 16th. You got Robert V. Cruz, the promoter for comedy. He is doing big things. He got his joint going on February 21st at the Tavern and on February 23rd. Also, don't forget GQ Palace. We now have 7 episodes a week with 10 different hosts. On Sunday, you have Spiritual Sunday with Lavina Polite from 7 to 9, as she has the most powerful ministers, elders, evangelists, and pastors. She also plays gospel music, and you can call in and give your testimony as well. On Monday, you have Love, Life, and Loyalty with Steph Dallas from 7 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, you have Speaking Out My Point of View with Dr. Philgood. Parental advisory, no children allowed for Monday's episodes. On Tuesdays, you have GPS, GQ Palace Sports with the Mayor from 8 to 10, bringing you the bigger picture. If you say you know sports, call in. Let's see what you know. On Wednesdays, we have Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, playing the hottest old and new slow jams and R&B, and discussing their grown and sexy topics. So tune in for that as well. And on Thursdays, starting February 21st, we have our new show,
from 8 to 10, Reality and Relationships with K.L. Belvin and his wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. So tune in for that. Very serious topic. They're talking serious things. All right? And on Fridays, once again, you have GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment with your host, Rich Money. That's it for this weekend. Hope to hear from y'all next weekend. Y'all be safe out there in this storm. Emergency service is advised. If you don't have to go, don't. All right? If you do, I hope you get there safe. Y'all have a blessed and safe weekend. This is your host, Rich Money, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
NBA patch on them. Ride till I die, so long as I